become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you.
Why do we need the dog?
It's not the dog we need.
Right.
What did he say?
He said, as his head, didn't he? He only chopped him down because he couldn't see the view no more. What's he mumbo?
What did he say?
He said, an edge is an edge. He only chopped it down because it spoiled his view. What's Reaper moaning about?
Right. Look, I appreciate your position, Mr. Webley, but you can't go around chopping down other people's hedges without permission.
I suppose.
Yes, I suppose. Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Webley, I trust you have a license for that firearm.
I don't for this one.
Does for this one.
He does for this one. What do you mean by this one? Where on earth did you get these?
Found them.
You found them? And what is this?
Sea mine.
Well, Mr. Webley, this is an extremely dangerous collection. It's a wonder nobody's been hurt before.
Just a load of junk.
It's where you find it.
Create a memory, huh? Let's get some cocaine and break into a school or steal a cop car or some stuff, huh? Do you have Ritalin?
No.
Don't freaking lie to me. Every one of you people has Ritalin.
No, I'm
sorry,
I don't.
You probably do have Ritalin.
I have some Ativan, but it's different.
Let's stick it up our asses.
No, it doesn't. It's not a suppository.
It doesn't matter. You crush up the...
I got an idea. Why don't we just play quarters?
What? I don't know what the heck I'm going to do. I'm getting really sad. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm going to get to the bathroom. I'm going to be alone with my own thoughts. Who knows what's going to happen up there? Who knows what's going to happen? You better plan something fun.
Jeez.
Pussies. I'm going dancing.
I don't know, man. Maybe coming here is a bad idea.
Yeah. If he kills himself, can we go home?
We're sucking it, town mouse.
Yeah, you want to be a big cop in a small town? Fuck off up the model village.
I'm just saying things aren't always as simple as they look.
Most times they are. Let's just wait till Dr. Ratcher comes back with something before you go jump in the Kalashnikov.
All right, in the meantime, why don't you check out a few of Martin Blower's clients?
Martin Blower represents damn near most of the village. Do you want to go through the whole phone book?
Yeah, we'll put a call into Aaron A. Aronson, shall we?
Please, don't be childish. At least consider interviewing the widow. Martin Blower was clearly having an affair with Eve Draper.
Ooh, and how did you establish that?
Because we sat through 3 hours of so-called acting last night, and the kiss was the only convincing moment in it.
All right, pipe down, Biggin.
Yeah, what else you got, Crockett and Tabby?
Skid marks.
Now who's being childish?
There were no skid marks at the scene. Doesn't it seem a little strange that Martin Blower would lose control of his car and not think to apply the brakes? If there were no skid marks, it follows that for 300 yards, both driver and passenger did nothing to prevent their fate. You don't have to be a detective to work that out.
Are you causing trouble?
Yes, they are.
No, apparently it's been deactivated, over.
That's right. Deactivated.
No, it's not live.
It looks live.
Oh.
Yeah, woohoo! Hey, everyone!
Yes.
Oh, yes. Hello. Hello, everyone. It is time for Entertainment Landfill. Welcome to the show, everyone. I am the J Strom. That was a drum roll. I got nothing. I'm not Michael Winslow, for Christ's sakes, okay? People, I do as best I can, you know, with the little sound effects and stuff. But we also have here Stephen the Pop Culture Zealot.
What's happening?
Why am I yelling at the audience, Stephen? I don't know. What's wrong with
you? Why are you yelling at me? I'm right here.
We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian.
Hi.
Hey, Bill. How's it going, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. It's been a, you know, fun day. Just keeping my head down, working on the show. And now it's time. It's showtime. And I bet we got a whole chat room full of people there listening to the show, right?
Me and you.
I'm not looking right now, so you could totally lie to me.
Yes, hundreds. We've maxed out the limit. Of crickets. A lot of crickets in there.
Awesome. You know, I wanted to get this out of the way right away because I just need to mention this every episode. Whenever we have a new patron, we should celebrate it at the beginning of the show. And we have a new patron, and that's Tom Aresto. Woohoo! He's our new patron. And
yay!
Thank you so much, Tom. And Tom reminded me that when he had a comic book shop, he actually played our show in his shop.
Wow.
How cool is
and
that?
He's from my neck of the woods, actually, out near Pittsburgh.
That's awesome. Dude, you realize if I walked into like a comic book store or something, I go, what? That's our show.
What's
going on? Hey, guys, it's me. I'm the Jason. Yeah, whatever, buddy. Mm. Get out of here. Yeah, right.
These guys are great. You suck, buddy.
No, it's me. I swear.
Yeah, everyone says that.
Throw this guy out of here. Security. Wow, they got security?
Wow, yeah. Security. That's an impressive, well-run comic shop, I guess.
No, but thank you so much, Tom. Anyone who wants to become a patron of our show will appreciate it very much. It, you know, your support the show. Can keep us going every Friday. We're just doing week after week shows. And all you gotta do.
You mean W-E-E-K, not W-E-A-K, right?
Yes, yes. Week to week, not week, very strong shows, Bill. Strong like bull shows. And
Tatanka.
If you go to patreon.com/landfill. Yes, Tatanka. And we only have one more week before Mulberry Bill comes to visit us here in Mulberry, Stephen.
That's right.
Yes, awesome.
My plane will be landing at 8:30 a.m. Thursday morning.
Now, we could actually physically harm you if we wanted to.
That's true.
Not
but I'm
going
to be
would.
Wearing my armor.
Hey, Bill, it's so good to...
But I won't be home till noon on Friday.
Boo! Well, noon's pretty early, so what are we going to be doing at noon?
Yeah, what's the plan?
What is?
Should we meet you at the airport with a sign? Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
PCZ Steven.
We might have to do that.
Oh, I wanted to plug, Lawrence has a new Lego video, so go to, Lawrence's Lego, reviews on YouTube. Just search for that. He's got a new one, Bill. Pretty
we'll
cool.
We'll link it in the show notes.
Pretty sweet. Now
we need to start putting those on the landfill Face Club page or Face Club?
The Face Club.
Facebook Club
page.
Yeah,
I should tell Adam it's totally cool to post that in there. Because you know, it's funny because I've been in different you know, there's different like groups in Facebook, I guess you would call it.
It's very clicky.
And you kinda wanna like, hey, I should plug my show here, but I don't want to be an asshole, so I'm not. You know,
well,
it's
people
like,
can hide it.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just like it would be uncool to go to somebody else's podcast and just plug something.
That's when now I'm going to go to every podcast page and plug our own.
Yeah. I think if you asked, if you knew the person, they were like, yeah, cool, do it.
Well, that way you would kind of do it tit for tat. You would say, hey, you can plug on mine. I'll plug on yours.
Right. Well, I was going to say, like, one problem you might run into is like, if I let you do it, I got to let everybody do it. You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's bullshit.
That's why you say, you know, it's so one-for-one thing.
Yeah, people should always ask me.
Quid pro quo, man.
And I will be totally cool about it. Yeah, quid pro quo. I like that. I've heard that from somewhere before. Wait, you know what? That reminds me of something. Bill, I can't actually say that. There's a couple of lines in movies I have a hard time saying. One is quid pro quo, Clarice.
Yes.
Can you
yes.
say quid pro quo, Clarice? Quid pro quo.
Quid pro quo, Clarice.
The, another one is at the end of The Karate Kid when, William Zadka's Johnny. He goes, you were, I've said this on the show before. I know I have. He goes,
you are
all right, LaRusso. You're all right, LaRusso.
That's a tongue twister.
I have to practice it. You're all right, LaRusso. He says it so quick, but like, I have to like concentrate when I say it.
You're all right, LaRusso.
You are all right, LaRusso. You know.
You're screwing me up.
I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. But, yeah, Bill, I want to talk about Destiny Beta. Was it a month ago you played Destiny?
Destiny? The Alpha. It was very limited.
Destiny Alpha, and I was very jealous of you.
Were you?
Yeah, I wanted to play it. I mean,
I didn't even really get to play it. I had forgotten about it. I played it for like 6 hours and it was over. Well, I went to the next day to log into it and it's like, thank you for playing the alpha.
What sucks is a lot of betas they do on weekends. Hey, this Saturday. And I'm like, Saturday's the worst day for me to play a game.
But they never put two betas in the same fish tank. I'm sorry.
Really yeah, they'll bad. Kill each other. But like I played the beta of Titanfall on Xbox One. Remember that?
Yes.
That was pretty cool because you could play
it.
It was
fun.
And then you're like, okay, show me more. Where's more game? So anyway, Destiny, I think you're the one who told me, in fact. You said, it's up. Go download it right now.
Yeah, it was, they did it just, I don't know. I logged into Facebook and the Destiny fan page said, you can now play. You know, it's open to everyone.
Oh, oh, oh.
It was a surprise.
And you're like, log into Bungie, Jason, and get your code. And I was like, how do I do this? And I was like,
I'm so flustered. I'm so excited.
Oh, it's probably this code right here. And the funny thing about it is that when you start downloading it, it doesn't like download instantly. That took I'm going to say 6 hours, something like that.
The craziest thing was that. The Xbox, when it starts downloading things, you can download and play at the same time for somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Destiny beta, you couldn't. So I kept downloading it, and then the moment it would say ready to play, I would boot in because I was thinking that you had to download it from, you know, in-game.
Right.
But every time it would do that, it would corrupt because you aren't supposed to download it in-game. So I had to erase it twice and start over, and then I finally realized, oh, okay, just let it keep installing, and once it's done, then you can play it.
Right. That's what I did, because Heather came home, we were watching shows and stuff, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to check it before I go to bed. It's not like it's going to overheat like a 360 or anything, right?
Yeah, it's got a massive fan on top.
So I checked it, and I was like, okay, first thing tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to start playing, and that's what I did, and first of all, I mean, it's silly to kind of start with this, but, you know, the next gen consoles, Bill, so many of them have, the games are kind of underwhelming. You say, okay, the graphics are pretty cool, but the game is lame, like that
yeah.
Rise, Son of Rome or something.
Oh, God, don't even remind me.
But I love this is my favorite buzzword or words is world building, and it's like the opposite of Titanfall, where they kind of barely did world building. It's just like, okay, here's the sci-fi backdrop, and then you're in a robot and fight! You know, that kind of thing.
Here's a really boring side story that's just told by a voiceover and people yelling at one another.
Talking heads in a box on the screen. But I automatically was interested in Destiny and what the story was and what was going on. Because it begins with this little tiny bot thing floating around scanning things. And it's like this post-apocalyptic landscape where it looks like actually the apocalypse happened a long time ago. And now there's greenery and everything's overgrown, you know.
Yeah, the world has moved on. And we're in Russia for some reason.
Yeah, it's in Russia and it's all the rusted vehicles and stuff. And the scenery, just everything is gorgeous in the game.
We were playing through it And I just kept looking at the sky.
Yeah.
Just like the sunsets and the clouds and everything. It was just the lighting effects are awesome.
I found myself just like, okay, let me stop for a second. And I would just look around at stuff. Like, you could see towers with a space shuttle, like, launching platform thing. And
yeah.
Everything's rusted. And I got to say, when you first wake up in the game and you're in control of your character and you have to run indoors and there's barely any light, the lighting is so awesome in the game. Like, you
can see it's really well done.
All the dust and stuff floating in the air. It's just incredible.
It's a pretty good leap. I would love to see what it looks like on a powerful PC.
Mm-hmm.
But the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 are really good machines. They're very close to like a budget gaming PC.
Right. Well, don't call it a budget gaming PC. Come on.
It is a budget gaming PC.
Well, I know, but I don't want you to say that because of how expensive the Xbox One is. I want it to be a next-gen console game.
Okay, it's very good. The next-gen is Jenny. It's very next-gen.
Yeah, you can't say compare it to a PC because then it makes me feel, like, inadequate.
Yeah, but can any of us really afford a gaming PC? It's ridiculous. The NVIDIA Titan, which is the top-of-the-line card, is, like, $1,100.
Right, that's why next-gen consoles, Bill. We have the elite consoles.
We're the elite consoles.
We're badasses, Bill. So all right. That's what I'm saying there.
I got it.
I don't want to feel insignificant.
A lower life form. You console gamers.
Awesome. But I gotta say that the game mechanics and all that, I mean, sure, yeah, it reminds me of the control in Halo. And also, Destiny is basically, you know, we talked about it a lot, and it's not a negative observation, it's a positive one that it's basically another version of Borderlands. Like,
it's a serious Borderlands.
Yeah, souped up graphics with serious storyline, none of the goofy humor. You know, that thing is like basically cell shaded, right?
Yeah.
You say? It's got that kind of appearance of cell shade. It's its own game, but the similarities are the world you're in, the missions.
Loot boxes.
Yeah, loot boxes.
Without loot midgets.
The way you have guns and you collect them with stats. The way, basically Borderlands is like an MMO, only it's not. It's like a four player game at tops?
Yeah, I would almost call it, I mean, it's a four player co-op game, with a limited world. You know, it's kind of a linear build.
Uh-huh.
But it's not open world, but it is that mechanic is very prevalent in Destiny.
Yeah, you have one of three characters you can select and you have,
but that just shows how good Gearbox is at developing games.
Yeah, it's a good game design. And another thing in this game, I'm really Peter Dinklage follows you around everywhere as a robot called Ghost, and I really started to enjoy him as my companion, talking to me about things and stuff, kind of like filling you in on what's going on, because apparently your character is just woken up and doesn't really know what's going on. It's kind
of strange. Our guide.
Yeah, he's our guide, and I really love that aspect of it. And
he's the male, he's little Cortana, or Cortana.
Yeah, yeah. And wasn't, in Halo, there was also another bot that flew around. What was that thing?
Spark?
Spark?
Or, was Spark 343, I think?
Yeah, so basically they kind of, a lot of games have companions like that to fill you in on stuff. It's nothing new, but
it's a common mechanic that they use now.
Yeah, but I like the way they implemented it. It's really cool, and you get to see this area. You're basically a guardian, one of three different kinds of guardians, where you could be a warlock, you could be a titan, or a hunter.
And then there's two subclasses to those, correct?
Right. And you have to get to level 15 to pick a subclass, I guess. And, I guess you could do that in beta if you played it enough to keep leveling up by doing missions over and over, the same ones. Because as far as you get is like, I think it's six missions, isn't it?
We played through all of them.
Yeah, we played through all of them.
Because you told me we went through this huge, awesome mission that ended with this big boss battle that we had a really good partner.
Yeah.
It was Mike Rocker or something, and he was helping us a lot.
That's another thing. You have to play game, certain missions you go on, you have to have three people. And if you don't have any friends, it'll assign you two other players who are playing too. So you have two people to play with you automatically, which is really cool. And at one point, when you and I were on this really hard part where they come in waves over and over again, the guy dropped out that was with us. And I was like, we were like, yeah, where'd he go? We need your help. And all of a sudden another guy appeared and, he started helping us, and that was cool. And then
what's funny is, we were doing that, you learn the pattern. Mm-hmm. So you get your ass just kicked over and over and over again, but each time you get a little further and you get a, it's like, I love the way that works. Like it works with you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you kind of figure things out, and then you almost get into this mode of like storming the castle. Like, you know, they're coming. Mm-hmm. And you just get so frustrated that you're like, I'm going for it. And there's numerous times where I used the jump jet to just go ahead of everything. And then we would flank them and work together. And it inspires teamwork. It's so much fun.
Yeah. And when you run out of ammo, you'll see it across the area. Way over the other side. You're like, I'm going to run and get more ammo. I'm out. And you have to run over there real quick and jump over everything.
Use somebody to draw fire to the other side.
That's when we fought that giant tank thing, we could spread all out on the map, like you on the left or me on the right. Like, I could shoot at it and it eventually slowly turns towards me and starts to open fire. And it's so cool how the gun's like, and you're like, oh shit, I gotta get out of here, because the explosion is massive and it'll just take you out if you're
it's
near.
one shot kill.
And what's so cool about that tank is its legs are vulnerable. Well, not really that vulnerable. You have to shoot them a million times, but you have to do one leg at a time. And one thing that's cool about your characters is you have this awesome ability that has to power up. The warlock has this massive, I don't know what you would call it. It's like an area attack. He jumps up in the ground and throws it down and everything disintegrates in its path. And, the Titan has like this power punch thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I choose like this striker punch, and you do like a Superman punch to the ground, and
it looks awesome.
Electrifies everything and throws it out so that things just go flying I didn't see any disintegrations. I know I have one power that charges up that's a punch. Mm-hmm. Since I'm a tank, you punch and it disintegrates the thing that you punch, but you have to choose when you're going to use it.
Right. That's another thing is I played as Warlock the first day, and the second day Hunter. And Hunter's is like, you have the super awesome power up pistol that has like three shots that deliver massive damage. The problem with that is that if you miss, you just waste it. And that kind of sucks.
And it's awesome looking, though. It leaves like this huge fire trail.
Oh yeah, it is sweet. All of the, you know, animations and stuff are beautiful.
Attack its weak point for massive damage.
Yeah, so that's what we did to that tank. But it's so much fun. You know, I realized that, dude, we've been fighting this tank thing for like 25 minutes, Bill, and it's awesome.
And it went super fast. And the first time we fought it, we were just a hair away from taking it down.
Yeah.
And then we all died. And it was just like, no!
That was funny. He was like, well, guess we got to do it again. But I'm really excited about the game. I can't wait till it comes out. It's a lot of fun.
It'll be a blast to play with groups of people.
Yeah, it will. It's going to be cool, man.
Have a nice fire team, everybody working together.
You know what's funny about Bungie is, you know, the first game I got on the Xbox was Halo 3, right? But I didn't get to play any of the other Halos that came out after that. I mean, sure. I really enjoyed the storyline of the game. I didn't really get into the death matches that much. We played them a little bit. And I did play some of Destiny's death matches, which they're kind of fun, but it's almost like when you jump in, everyone seems like they're an expert and you just die repeatedly.
Yeah.
So you really have to, I was doing one of those where you have to keep going to the flag and stand there till you get it your color, and then you have to run to the next one, and guys just keep coming constantly. Stuff like that, it gets old for me, like, really fast.
Yeah, I'm not a big multiplayer guy.
I mean,
there's only certain games. I mean, yeah. I think Titanfall's exceptional because it's actually a good multiplayer.
Right, and the maps are so huge on that game. Like, the maps, I mean, granted, this is only the beta, but the map is pretty small that I was playing on, and I got tired of the map pretty quick.
Sure.
But I
haven't done any of that yet.
That's one question.
I'll look into it.
I wanted to ask you about Destiny. I mean, we don't know a lot, but will it be like Halo 3 where you have a storyline, and when the storyline's over, there's nothing to do but death matches, or are they going to keep coming up with more story?
They're going to dole it out. Like, they've said that they're going to keep expanding on the story.
Yeah, because this is different than, like, Halo, where, I mean, you're basically, you and I saw other players in different places, and when you go to the tower, there's a whole bunch of players there.
Yeah, like, and then that's the main location where you can upgrade and sell stuff. And I'm sure there will be multiple versions of that.
I wonder if there will be crafting in the game. Do you wonder that? Because you can
You do break things down.
Yeah. That's really cool. I can't wait to talk more about it when it comes out. But that was pretty cool playing with you yesterday, Bill.
It was. It was a ton of fun. And Emma in the background cheering us on. That was great. Until she lost interest.
Yeah. After we keep fighting the same guy for a while, it gets pretty boring, I guess, for other people to watch. But I love when those wizard thing comes out. A wizard! Blast!
That's wizard, Annie!
That's totally wizard, Annie. By the way, Bill, I want to plug my dad's book. I didn't get to last week. The Monorails of Mars is my dad's new book. Just look for it on Amazon. My dad's name is Terry Wallstrom. I have permission to use his last name, Bill.
why are you always blaming me for that?
I'm just kidding. But I haven't read the book yet. I actually want to physically hold it and read it like that. He sent it to me in a PDF file, and I started reading it like at the computer, and I was like, I can't read it like this. Like, it's different than, like, on a tablet or my phone where I can carry it around. And a PDF just doesn't work, you know?
Yeah, I bought it on my Kindle, but I want to buy a copy so that when I'm down there next week, I can have him sign it.
Oh, that would be sweet. He'd really get a kick out of that. I want to get it, too, and have him sign it. But it's a sci-fi book with, like, you know, some kind of meaning. But I have to read it first.
Yeah, I'm going to start reading it once I finish Leviathan Wakes.
And you're digging that?
I am really digging it. The opening, just the establishing of the characters, and then there's a big scene around, like, chapter 4 or 5 where it gets you emotionally invested. Mm-hmm. And it's grabbed me pretty hard. Anytime I have downtime, I'm reading it, or I actually bought the audiobook too.
Oh, cool.
So that, like, there's a feature on the Kindle now where if you buy the audiobook and have the book, like, you can listen to it or read along with it and
awesome.
Stuff like that. But it's funny. I read much faster than the audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
So, it gets to be slightly irritating.
It's just like, come on, dude, hurry up.
Well, it's funny because I'm reading it and I read up to like chapter six. And I did that in like, I don't know, 40 minutes. And then I'm going through the audiobook trying to forward in my place while I'm driving around today, so that I can keep into the book. And it was only like maybe an hour or no, it was 2.5 hours into the audiobook. So it's just slow.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand the whole, you know, you have to, the inflection and you read it kind of like a radio play, but they're just too damn slow.
Yeah. I honestly, we've mentioned this before where audiobooks, I enjoy them after I've read the book.
Yeah, I'm cheating because I'm enjoying it so much. I go right back to the book at night, but the guy that's reading it isn't bad. He's just not good.
It's got that, speaking of that book, awesome world building also.
Oh yeah. I'm just up to the point where there's, something involving the Martian military possibly.
Uh-huh.
It kind of an alert goes out. So
Well, the way they describe, like, ice miners, they get ice
from the
rings of Saturn.
Yeah, from the rings of Saturn.
And then they take it to the asteroid belt where people live because they have no source of water there. And they deliver these icebergs, basically. Huh. And it's the life of people on the ice freighters that collect ice. And that's their living, what they do. And it's very, like, descriptive, you know, the way it talks about how they live and everything. And it was really cool. And they even explain, like, how they have different, like, if you lose a limb, they have robotic limbs.
Right.
But the real rich people, they can actually have an arm grown back. But, you know, if you're not wealthy, you can't afford something like that. And I was like, that is so cool that, like, you know, some people have robotic limbs. Some people can grow a limb back, you know, or it's just a cool.
The whole idea that it's cheaper for a robotic limb is crazy. It's really.
Well, if they got to grow a biogenetic or whatever, a bio arm,
mm-hmm.
a real arm, it seems like that would take more technology than a.
Yeah, I just love the way they've built the world and how the book is called Leviathan Wakes, and we've mastered space travel, it sounds like, but we haven't left the solar system. We have colonized Mars, and was it the moons of Saturn, Bill?
Yes.
And moons of Jupiter. And
the moons of Yago.
The moons of Yago, and but also the moon, of course, and the asteroid belt.
Yeah, and apparently there's nastiness spread all around our solar system.
They live in the moons of Yago, I think.
But it's a cool book, Bill. You'll probably finish way before me. But you just reminded me of Rob Bickmore. He wrote me, and he said he didn't have time to leave a voicemail, but he wanted to tell us that he's really glad we're covering The Strain, and we've enjoyed it. And he said that he loved the audiobooks, Bill, read by Ron Perlman.
Oh, shit, I'm buying those.
Yeah, so if we want to check that out. He also wanted us to talk about Boyhood. He goes, no doubt you've seen it by now. I can't wait to hear you talk about it. I was like, no, we haven't seen it yet.
Supposed to see it on Monday with Richard Linkletter.
Oh,
and
shit,
I was unable to go.
Aw, damn.
Yeah, something came up that I just couldn't do it. I would have had to drive like an hour and a half because I had to go somewhere else. And I could have done it if I really, really, really needed to,
yeah.
But there were just other obligations that I just couldn't do
it. It wasn't worth rushing to it and stuff like that.
I didn't stick around for 20,000 days on Earth either on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. You went to Austin to see
Nick Cave.
How was that?
It was good. Good show.
And you wanted to just stick around the next day and see the movie, but you didn't get to?
Yeah, I just didn't.
Oh, bummer. Well,
but I'll see Boyhood very soon. I have heard nothing but very positive things about it.
I'd love for it to come video on demand, so just so I could stay home and watch it. But that's cool if it doesn't. Okay, you know.
Yeah. I just saw on the Daily Show he was interviewed by Jon Stewart, Richard Linklater. And
cool.
It sounded pretty cool.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Guys, we have one voicemail. And it's from someone that we've missed, and that's Rick Lidster.
Oh, excellent.
Let's check it out. Rick!
Hey, guys. It's Rick again. Yeah, it's been a while. Man, you guys have been putting out so much lately. It's amazing. It's hard to keep up with all these episodes. But it's really been entertaining, and you guys are doing great. I love the Patreon stuff and everyone's contributing. It's really great to see, and I'm really happy and stuff. It's a great thing, you know? So, I have a couple of movies that a couple of movies I've seen recently. One of them was recommended by you guys, which was Snowpiercer. And
yes.
Yeah, what a pile of shit that was.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Joking. I really, really loved it. Don't jump on me.
He's trying to trick us.
It was great. I made my brother and my mate and everyone watched it, and they're like, oh, my God, that movie was amazing. I never heard of that. Where did that come from? And I was like, yeah, Entertainment Landfill. And they hooked me up with some good quality stuff. So.
We're trendsetters.
That movie, if you haven't seen it, anyone, like, check it out, because it's pretty fun. You know, it's not perfect, but it's still bloody fun. Really good fun. Snowpiercer. I don't know why it didn't get, like, a huge release, because it really could have been everywhere.
Because it's too smart.
I was just lucky that I listened to this podcast so I could, you know, find stuff like this. And that's why I listen to you guys, because you let me know about what's going on, and I always feel like I've kind of got some sort of connection to interesting things through you guys. So,
oh, well, thank you.
That's why I've been listening for years and years, because you're always there for me and and show me what's good and what's not. Anyway.
I love you, Rick.
And the second movie I watched recently, it's called Enemy, and it's got Jake Gyllenhaal, if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I wanted to see that.
I highly recommend watching this ridiculously weird movie. I just find that it was just so strange that I liked it. And kind of, you know, for me, when I watch a movie with, you know, some of my less intelligent friends, and they're like, what's this? Oh, geez. I don't get this. This is weird. I'm like, that's what's good. Don't you understand?
It's
anyway,
different.
Enemy, check it out. It's messed up. But it's really beautifully shot, and the ending is just stupid and ridiculously weird. I really enjoyed it. So if you haven't seen it, check it out, and, you know, do yourself a favor. But really been loving the episodes lately, guys, and I hope that you'll just keep pumping them out, because, you know,
is he in a zoo?
Guys are always there for me. And I'm always there for you. All right. Have a good
and
show, guys.
And he might be in a zoo.
I will talk to you next time. Sorry I've been slack lately, but I'm just, you know, lots of stuff's going down lately and whatever, but that's no excuse.
Yes,
it
is.
I love you guys. This was Rick from Australia. Rick Lidstar. And, yeah, that's cool to use my name. That's fine.
Oh, okay.
Permission granted.
Well, thank you, Rick.
Kisses.
Rick Lidstar, everybody.
One of our very best fans.
Yes, I was reading about Enemy. A man seeks out his exact lookalike after spotting him in a movie.
Yeah, it's a doppelganger movie. I love those.
You know, wasn't there a Jesse Eisenberg doppelganger movie also?
There was.
What the hell was that? Because that's what I thought this was. It's crazy. I don't know.
I love that I put in Jesse Eisenberg, and the first thing that pops up into Google is asshole.
Okay.
Wow. Somebody. Oh, a girlfriend, shirtless, OCD. Jesus, what are these people searching for?
Weirdo. Can't stand them.
The double.
Hair.
It's called The Double.
The Double. We need a doppelganger marathon, Bill.
Yeah, I think that might be fun.
It'd be
I'm so
cool.
Confused. Wait, right, isn't that look- Double the Richard I always get his name wrong.
Ayodi?
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
Maz from the IT Crowd.
Right. He directed that movie.
He directed it and wrote it. Based on a Dostoevsky novel.
We should see Double and Enemy.
That might be fun. We got 5 days. Got to use them wisely.
All right, guys. Let's check out entertainment. Thanks, Rick. Now, I didn't get to see any movies this week, guys. Did you guys get to see anything?
No. I've been so busy getting family stuff done before I leave down there on Thursday morning, and I've just been slacking majorly.
Yeah, I just, you know, when Destiny comes out, you have to play it. You can't watch a movie, you know?
I was so close. I was going to go see Lucy Thursday night,
Oh, but, Lucy.
Lucy.
I was looking at reviews of it, trying to quickly read any, and I didn't get a chance. Drew McWeeny basically said it's very silly. It's almost like it's a really cool setup, but then it devolves into just mindless action by the third act, which isn't, which isn't always bad. I mean, it's Luc Besson. Do we expect it to be that good?
I want to see it because it's got Old Boy in it.
Oh, really? He's in that?
Min-Sik Choi or Choi Min-Sik? I never get that
right. I just call him Old Boy.
Old Boy. Yeah, but, I see him in the previews a lot. I think he's one of the big bads.
Pretty sweet. And also Hercules, Bill.
You know what? I'm shocked that it sounds like Brett Ratner maybe made an entertaining action flick.
Wait a minute.
Really?
Yeah, it's got higher rating than Lucy, and a lot of people are saying that if you just turn your brain off and go into it, it's actually really well done and choreographed. So.
Well, I mean, it looks like a very silly movie. And we know Brent Ratner, you know, everyone shits on him and everything, including me.
Well, it's because he's an asshole. I mean, you can't get past that.
But if you look... If Rush Hour, it's easily watchable. It's not like horrible directing or anything. You can, you can watch it.
He's a serviceable director.
Yes, he's serviceable. And if he wants to do Hercules with The Rock, then God bless him.
Yeah, I've never read what it's based on. Like I think it's called The Thracian Wars. This is some comic series, but, it's kind of like the deconstruction of the Hercules myth, where it's not just one man, but actually a team of people.
What?
Yeah, it's like Hercules has a team of other, like, warriors.
Haku Masente!
And you know what? Dwayne Johnson, he's a likable guy. He's not an asshole. He's a nice guy, and I don't mind watching him in movies. You know?
I've made it well known that I am not a wrestling fan. I too many bad childhood memories involved with WWF stuff and all that.
Hasn't The Rock surpassed that where it doesn't bother you?
Yeah, that's what I was getting to. He's a very charismatic guy who does a really good job in stuff that he's in. Even in a movie I despise, Pain and Gain, Michael Bay's Pain and Gain, that movie is nearly 3 hours of excruciating, cringe-inducing bullshit.
With Michael Bay, where he always does three-hour movies?
I lasted 40 minutes and had to turn it off.
But, like, The Rock, he's good in, like, the Fast and the Furious movies.
Yeah, but he's great. What I saw of him in Pain and Gain, he's great. He's good.
He did it for so long
in wrestling, it's all it is acting. I think that was his acting school, honestly.
And the best part of the G.I. Joe movie?
Yeah, that's his movie, apparently.
And what about the, do you remember the Peter Berg movie, The Rundown?
I love The Rundown. I just watched it again recently.
He's great in that. It's a fun movie.
I watched it because of that Christopher Walken video where it's a compilation of all the movies he dances in.
Yeah, yeah.
And they kept using little lines from him in that. I was like, you know what? I always liked that movie. I'm going to put that on. And it's hilarious.
And it's very nicely directed. It's fun.
Wow. Yeah, Peter Berg's great.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, basically if I were to pick between Hercules and Lucy,
I'd
probably pick Lucy.
Yeah, I'm going Lucy.
Oh, Lucy. Sorry, I just got to do my Ricky Ricardo. Is that dated at all, Steven?
A little bit.
No, it's never dated. That's timeless. I still watch I Love Lucy.
Not that because it was a takeoff on, was it a Saturday Night Live skit or something when they...
What?
They did the voicing like that.
I'm doing my Ricky Ricardo.
Yeah, he's doing Ricky Ricardo.
That's the way he sounded.
I know that. But I'm just saying, didn't they have a bit where they did that? They just overdid him.
Do you remember when Lucy would do that?
Yeah.
All right, Bill, what do you say we get into our TiVo shows and what's on our TiVo? Oh, and by the way, Bill, next week when you get here, we're going to go see Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yay! Which is, everybody's just saying is so much fun and like a celebration of camaraderie. And I'm just like, I'm over the moon. Like, if there were people in camaraderie, reship, and it's us. So there.
Now, if I'm thinking next week when you're here, it's going to be hard for me to work on a show or do it. What if we just sit down and record our thoughts on Guardians of the Galaxy and kind of do a Guardians of the Galaxy show?
Like, yeah, absolutely. That'll be fun.
You know, update type, just sit around, talk show kind of
thing.
Yeah,
and we'll do little updates on Instagram. I'll post them on Facebook.
Sweet. All right, let's check out what's on our TiVos. Ah, yes. Now, you remember I joked last week about Will Wheaton probably listening to the show?
Right.
Now I definitely think he is, Bill.
Oh, yeah? That's the one show I did not watch this week. I had to choose Will Wheaton or Defiance.
Because Defiance we mentioned so much, we've talked about pandering, right? He actually brings up pandering.
Right. Oh, wow. Yeah.
And did you think, wait a second, when you heard that? And also when he goes, hey, fellow nerds, he makes sure to also include other people besides
non-nerds.
And non-nerds alike. So it's like he's listening to he's taking notes, Bill.
Oh, you rascally Wheaton.
So this bit I'm going to play is extremely pandery, isn't it? It's where they're talking about all the movies that are now properties of our childhood. Ninja Turtles, Lego Movie, Transformers, Battleship, or whatever you can think of. Right, Bill? And they're like, what about this also? And let's check this out.
And now, the guy who knows his way around a Big Bang Theory, Will Wheaton.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Hey, nerds and nerd-adjacent normals, welcome to the Will Wheaton Project, where we cover the week in sci-fi, horror, and fantasy, or as it is more commonly known, sci-horfa. Universal released the trailer for Ouija this week. The movie is based on the Milton Bradley toy that entertained us all at sleepovers for literally minutes of our childhood. You're probably thinking that Hollywood has finally scraped the bottom of the nostalgia barrel. You are wrong.
In a world where all of your favorite childhood things are being turned into movies like Ouija, Transformers, G.I. Joe, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Smurfs, Battleship, and the Lego Movie comes. Literally everything else from your childhood, the movie. Starring Alf, dinosaur-shaped chicken nuggets, street sharks, the bedazzler, Tamagotchi, beanbag chair, donkey lips from Salute Your Shorts, cassette tapes, seaweeds, hair crimpers, trapper keepers, light bright, worm thing filled with water that slipped through your hands, Lisa Frank stickers, Will Wheaton, Furby, Teddy Ruxpin, gym mats, Ric Flair, creepy crawlers, pens with six different colors, Magic 8 Ball, OG Reed Moore, Weebles, Bobbit, Lunchables, the RF Switchbox, and Floam. But we didn't stop at things. We got the rights to abstract childhood concepts like chicken pox, blowing into a game cartridge, and hiding your boner in class. The New York Times says, holy shit, gym mats, I totally remember those. And the Chicago Tribune says, I'm still hiding my boner. Literally everything else from your childhood, the movie. Give us money.
I have one thing to say about that gross display of pandering. Where's the beef? We'll be right back.
All right, Bill, what did you think of that? I had to look up Donkey Lips from Salute Your
Shorts. Oh, my God, Donkey Lips. God, that guy with the awful speech impediment. Yeah.
I had no idea what Salute Your Shorts was. I watched it on some of it on YouTube. But
that was 91?
Yeah, it was like a early 90s Nickelodeon show.
Yeah, I watched that every week. I loved that show.
And there's a guy named Donkey Lips, I guess.
Camp Onawana, we hold you in our hearts. And dude, when we think about Bill. You, it makes me want to fart.
Oh, wow. So it had really, like, funny humor in it?
Yeah, and it had, like, the goofy camp counselor director guy. Yeah, it was a fun show.
Right, so that was
you know
what
it surprises me, though? They're going the Ouija route. Wasn't there a Ouija movie in the 80s, like Witchboard?
Yeah, Witchboard. It was hilarious. Remember the board was actually flying around and everyone like shooting at it?
Yep.
Did it bleed or something, too?
I remember Tawny Katane is in it. That's about all I remember.
I just remember it was...
display of pandering.
The tagline was more than just a game.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, how can this thing be evil? It's by Milton Bradley. Seriously.
Milton Bradley's evil.
But, I mean, come on. In the 80s, you always had a Ouija board at a party. And because we were a very fundy Christian family, my sister had a sleepover and one of the girls brought it. And I just remember seeing it and be like, oh, my God, that's demon possessed. You need to get that out of the house.
Oh, my God. Did they,
yeah, I was
did they
brainwashed.
Go, oh, I'm sorry, Bill. Let's get rid of this. Did they do that?
No.
No. Of course not.
I still hung around it because I was, you know, I was at that age where I was in love with every girl my sisters would bring home.
So did you try to act tough about it? Like, I don't
care. Hell no. I was a baby. Like, oh, you got to get it out of there. I knew better than everyone else, apparently.
I was like,
it's going to kill us all. It's going to start flying around the room.
You
get a gun.
Possessed, Bill.
Good times.
Don't touch it.
Now, let's talk about Big Brother, Bill.
Okay.
I wonder if Caleb is still obsessed with Amber. You know what's so dumb about, there's an alliance in the house, and like all seasons, when you have an alliance, you play with the idea of putting up someone in your alliance because they're getting on your nerves, or they say like a girl that you keep hanging out with.
They're detrimental to the alliance.
Cody is the, HOH, right?
Yes.
And he's thinking about putting up Caleb because Caleb keeps spying on him whenever he's around Amber. He's like, maybe I should put him up because he'll probably put me up because I'm hanging out with Amber.
Paranoying.
And it's so funny. They're upstairs in the HOH all, you know, Amber is like has her legs across his. And
it's like high school.
Right. Baby's, like, very interested in something under the entertainment center. Do you have any idea what's under there? I hope it's not a creature of some kind.
It's a ghoulie.
Ah!
Oh, wait, they come out of toilets.
So Caleb knows there's cameras. First of all, he says, there's surveillance all over the house. It's like, well, duh, you're on Big Brother. He's like, they can see me in HOH, so he's going to use his military skills. Apparently, he was in the military, and he's going to hide from the cameras. And
he
just
likes to remind everyone he was in the military.
And burst into the room where they're like, oh, shit, where did he come from? And see what they're doing. And sure enough, Cody's like laying back on the couch, and she's laying down, and she's got her legs laying on top of him. So she's like,
that's it. They're too friendly.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and check this out.
So the HOH room has camera surveillance all throughout the house. Well, I've been in the military, so this guy knows how to be stealth, quiet, sleek, all that good stuff. And I'm just going to see exactly what's going on up in that HOH room.
Yeah,
and what do you figure? Home Skillet's got his hands on Amber once again.
Oh, no, Home Skillet.
This just doesn't sit too well with Stealth Mode Cowboy.
Awkward!
Sorry.
What's Amber's agenda with Cody?
One minute he's saying, you're my boy, I don't like you like that, and I don't want you to feel that way.
Right.
But when I see him, you know, constantly with his hands on her or something like that, it makes me think otherwise. It's all like this, and it's like,
but, and I'm not defending him in any way, but that's how he is with every girl. If any girl would run up to him like that, he would be rubbed.
But I don't like any girl like that. he should have the dignity and respect to say,
right,
you know, Amber, I know how Caleb kind of has feelings for you and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's right to do him that way after he's done so much for you.
Yeah.
He's done everything.
Everything. He's given you his blankets and you're freezing cold.
Yeah.
Put himself on the butt for you.
But
he's stalker crazy.
A kick in the nuts and a punch to the freaking nose.
Honestly, the biggest thing is putting a bigger target on his back. Right.
Caleb, I got a little secret for you. She's not into you, man. There's plenty other fish in the sea. And on top of that, you know Cody's my boy. I'm going to relay this whole conversation right back to him ASAP.
Caleb is really pissed at you.
I literally don't give
a... That he's pissed at me?
Good. Really, you shouldn't.
I don't want to
piss
him out of the house.
Literally, you're going to be pissed at me over a personal thing because a girl you're creepily obsessed with goes, why, sorry.
Yeah.
He's pissed me off and he's becoming a threat in the, like, to me in the game.
No, without a doubt, he even said you're putting a target on your back.
Oh, God, dude, that's just...
So this whole Caleb situation is honestly driving me crazy. He's definitely a number for my alliance, but I know that it's only a matter of time before this kid is going to be coming after me.
Caleb, as first place winner, please claim your first place prize.
Oh, this is hilarious.
So I know if I choose the power veto and don't use it, my boy Cody would be pretty happy with me because he won't have to make a replacement nominee. But quite frankly, that $5,000 cash is looking pretty good right now.
I gotta take the 5 stack.
Are you serious?
What are you doing?
He's definitely not a team player, is he?
Caleb is a Dumbo of all Dumbos.
Poor Cody now. He's gotta put him
in. What's wrong with the 5 stacks?
He may have stirred up a little bit of waters. I hope he has, because Cody is gonna have to nominate someone else. I hope it's the Dumbo.
Yeah, they did that power veto bill where you each draw prizes, and whatever someone gets, the next person down can trade with them. They can just take it. Well, Caleb was the last guy, so he was the winner, and he could go up and just take the veto away from that one girl, who his name I can't remember. And
Brittany.
No, not Brittany, the other one.
Nicole.
No, not Nicole. The other brunette besides Brittany. I forget her name.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, shit. I can't remember. I blanked on her name. I'll remember in a second. But,
her! Okay.
I can't remember. Valerie? No. But anyway, he's supposed to go up and say, I'm going to take the veto. I'm sorry. Because he gets a germitard. It's like a German unitard to be with.
Yes!
And he's like, I'm going to take the 5 stacks. $5,000. And they're like, what the hell are you doing, man? You're supposed to get the veto for us. He's like, nah, I need the money, home skillet.
5 stacks. What an asshole.
And so then, of course, Cody's like, okay, that's the way he wants to play it. When the girl, what the frick is her name, Bill?
I don't know.
I'm going to have to look at Joker's updates. So,
I'll look it up while you're talking.
When he takes her off, when she takes herself off the veto, they need a replacement nominee. So the entire week, Cody's like, I'm putting Caleb up. I'm going to put him up. And everyone's going, no, 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 don't do that. Don't do that. Are you crazy? Her name is Victoria.
Oh, there we go.
Victoria. Yeah, when she takes
herself
off. Yeah,
she's such a wallflower. I don't even remember her name.
Yeah, when she takes herself off, they're like, I'm putting Caleb up. He spends like the entire episode. And at the very end, Donnie, please take your place up there. And Donnie's like, what the hell? He told me I wasn't going up. It's because they're all afraid to go against the majority, you know?
No, he's not in the detonators, is he?
Cody is.
Oh, Caleb isn't.
Caleb, no. He thinks he's in an alliance with them, but they just talk about when they're going to get rid of him.
Okay, yeah.
And basically, Frankie's the HOH now, and they keep putting up the easy nominations, and they put up Joe Costa. You know, Joe Costa, Bill?
Joe Contra Costa.
And they also put up Victoria again. So they just keep putting up the easy nominees. And basically every week, what's sad is, like, the girls, you know how they, on Big Brother, the girls are like, we should form an alliance, but they never do. The guys
I don't want to say they're not smart enough to, it's just they're afraid.
Right, and the guys dominate Big Brother. And every once in a while, a girl will win, like, what's her face who won that one time? God,
yeah,
Jesus.
That what's her name?
The big redhead, you know, was like, ah, ha, ha, ha.
Oh God, I Rachel. Hated her.
Rachel. She won because she had her boyfriend. Like everyone hated him more than her, I think, and that really helped. You kind of have someone for in your alliance that people hate worse. You know what I mean?
That's the only way to win Big Brother is to take someone along with you that has pissed on enough heads.
Yeah, that's
that
why having
win.
Evil Dick when he was in the house, like he was a target, but everyone was afraid of him. So his daughter kind of cruised through everything, you know?
Yeah. And that's the, I think, is that the only reason did he win Big Brother?
Yeah.
Or did they give it to Danielle?
No, he did win. And
yeah, and the only reason Danielle didn't win is because no one liked Danielle.
Right.
I'm back, bitches!
So we'll see what goes on there. It's just, when you watch it, you know, we always talk about how we kind of lose steam and start... It's because when a certain group of people dominate for so long, it starts to get tiring.
Yeah, and I think their attempt at, derailing that is the Team America?
Yeah.
But Team America, it's just so lame.
Well, the sad thing is Team America is Frankie, Derek, and Donnie. And Donnie's like, well, I'm in an alliance with Frankie and Derek because we're in Team America. They don't really care that much. They're not protecting him or anything.
Now, they try to build an alliance, but there's no alliance there.
Yeah. They'll get rid of him as soon as they can. Now, Bill, you finally got to watch an episode of Restaurant Startup, right?
I did, and I enjoyed the hell out of it, like the business side of it, and just to see how their head works. The only thing that put me off was, I guess maybe they felt that with this one, the bread, there was two people. It was bread, a bread maker and a cone, like food in a cone.
Yeah, one of those kind of like put a waffle cone, you put meat and stuff in it.
Yeah, and I was shocked that they chose the cone, but I guess they felt that a bread maker is limiting.
Yeah, or
like it would have to be like a restaurant that concentrated on bread, and I don't think either of them care.
Like, what is it? Did she want a bake? Did the person want a bakery or like a sandwich shop? It's kind of hard to figure out how a restaurant figures in there. Like, a bakery with an eating area where people order stuff. It's kind of like, it's not really...
Like
I don't
a Panera Bread? Or
yeah, I didn't understand why the person was even there, honestly.
Yeah. I think maybe they're just limited in their choices.
Well, so they picked this cone lady, and the first thing they said was, can we have an unsweetened cone? Like savory? And she was like, oh, okay. And she quickly figured out a new recipe, and... then, of course, they do the part where they build their own restaurant, you know, I don't mean literally build it, but, you know, decorate it.
Decorate it inside of an existing.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, try to decorate it and stuff like that. I don't even think the painting and stuff is that important, but apparently they're like, I don't like this color.
Well, yeah, I think she painted it blue, and blue is more calming, and it's not conducive to an eating environment.
Right. It just seems, it seemed kind of weird, like that blue color, but, she didn't make enough, obviously they weren't prepared. I did think it was funny that they didn't have measurements figured out and they just kind of winged it with
the. And
put
the fact
in there.
That she lied about it.
Yeah, that was weird. She goes, do you have measuring cups back there? Do you have like recipes where she goes, oh yeah.
4 ounces of meat in this one.
We have tons of them.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And she goes, well, do you mind if I go look? And she didn't outright say, you lied to me, but she was just like, you know, I'm not stupid. You didn't use a measuring of any kind.
Yeah, how am I supposed to help you if you're being dishonest?
This episode actually was the first one where it's like, I wouldn't invest in this, you know, by the end of it.
Right.
Yeah, and even in Tim Love gave the great out where he goes, well, if I'm going to do anything with this, I need 51%. You can buy it back.
Right.
But I want 51%. And he knows that she was going to pass on that because she's too, I don't know if it's ambitious or just arrogant.
Yeah, she wants to do it all herself. Here, I have a clip of that. Let's check it out.
I mean, just put an offer on the table so we can evaluate it.
Thirty percent.
Okay, that's a starting point.
30%.
That's $1 million valuation.
Yeah. Interesting.
I happen to like you very much, Christine, because I am a New Yorker like you.
Joe?
I appreciate your very, very aggressive and ambitious attitude. I think that you are the purest form of a food entrepreneur, someone with a big idea and who wants to get big things out of it. If you could invent the next vessel for food consumption, then you have a massive, massive idea. Am I convinced that this is the next food vessel? And will I invest in cones? The answer to that is no.
Don't.
Even though the food was really, really good, your ability to really change the way people consume food, I didn't see it. This, for me, was about the cone.
I like the cone. I do. I'm willing to give you the $325,000.
Okay.
But I'm going to be 51% no matter what. The reason for that is, just in what I saw today, clearly there needs to be some real guidance. And to make sure that I have the guidance there, I need to make sure that I own the business. So I would give you an opportunity to buy that back out. But I have to be in charge of this business, I think, in the beginning.
I honestly would have gone into business with them. I would be like, cool.
In order for me to give you $325,000.
Yeah, it's a way to get your foot in the door, get your brand out there.
You're 51%.
Yeah.
I respect you and your experience and your knowledge and what you're bringing to the table. But I am starting this business because I want to build something huge. I don't like the idea of being an employee of my own business.
You know, I understand that. But if I can't have 51%, then I have to say, man, I'm just not going to be in the cone business.
How long will it take for me to buy back?
Because in the first episode, those guys, he said, 3 years, you can buy me out. And they're like, okay, we'll do it. The kanji, cracking kanji guys. 3 years isn't that long.
And no, it goes very fast. And if you're successful, if he leads you down the right path, and then you get your name out there, you're connected to Tim freaking Love. Tim Love.
Yeah, he's like telling people this is a great place. And they're like, and then he's like, okay, buy me out. And you have enough money to buy him out, and then it's yours. But that lady was like, no, I want to do it all myself.
I just think that's worthless food idea to me. Like you even told me, he's like, hey, there's a place down here in Texas that has like cone foods. And I was looking at it and it's like a pizza cone. And it just looks so unappetizing to me. It looks like poop in a cone with cheese on top of it.
Yeah, that one's the one in Dallas. I'm not sure if it's the same as the one in Arlington or if it's the same owners or not.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, I understand like the whole food on the go thing, but it's just not appetizing at all.
Trying that out at Mayfest or Oktoberfest or one of those outdoor
kind of
events.
Festival type. Street fair food.
Yeah, street fair type of walking around stuff. Not like actually going into a restaurant.
A fine dining
sitting
restaurant.
Down and
it's like when I was a kid, the big things in cones, they were the cake cones, and it was either marshmallow or you baked a cupcake in it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, it's a dessert thing for
me. I'll never forget the first time it was in California when I had a waffle cone. Like, it was just like, whoa, what is this? And it was just like so good. It was awesome.
Well, yeah. Well, like an ice cream waffle cone?
Yeah. Because, you know, we just had the normal, you know,
the little
ice
sugar
cream
cone.
Cones. Like sugar
yeah, the
cones
cake cone.
And this was the first time it was like a big giant waffle cone. And it was like, man, this thing smells so good. And, you know,
I need a spoon to eat it.
Yeah. It was awesome. Now, guys, Hell's Kitchen. Let's talk about Hell's Kitchen, then we're going to take a break. Okay, first of all. There's a winner, guys. Did we pick it, huh? We knew who was. Cause come on, Jason, he's too much of a jackass.
Yeah, I don't know. Scott just looks like a deer in the headlights to me. Like he has this weird, he puts on an air of, knowledge, but he really needs to go to culinary school.
Didn't
again,
you think
or
he did a fantastic job though?
Yeah, but it's funny, whenever the chefs were judging their meals,
or their plates, I was just like, it seems like they're just kind of grading it on a different scale.
I was glad to see Brian Voltaggio again.
Yeah, that's somebody that proved himself so well on Top Chef. Like, I mean, this guy is high class. And I just think he was kind of grading it on the big boy scale. Like, is this better than something I would get at a diner?
Possibly. He might not have been that much of a jerk.
I don't know. I always feel like the people on Hell's Kitchen are sub-level chefs.
Yeah, yeah, you're like,
I hate
really,
it. I mean, it's cruel, but it's true.
That's
the
thing.
They got to go to the Gordon Ramsay school after they win this to become.
Yeah.
Yeah, they basically get a job where they're not really running anything and they pick up expertise. You get in the door. It's kind of like the Tim Love thing. Gordon Ramsay, whatever he tells you to do, do it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And it'll help your career. So anyway, let's check this out and see how everybody does.
God, I'm pumped up right now. Oh, to everyone that thought that I would never make it here. Screw you! I'm here!
He's so immature.
I made it to the final two.
Absolutely ridiculous. I'm so proud of myself. I'm so proud of being resilient and coming back. One of the last two. How about that? Jessica.
Yeah. Crisp it up more?
No. You see what happened with these potatoes? They broke down and they coated the bean. Hit it up with a hash of those potatoes last. I don't even want you to saute them barely, okay?
Awesome. I understand, Chef.
Thank
you. Chef. Oh, yeah, they need to be so perfect.
I need them perfect.
I don't understand the big deal.
Jessica,
remember,
I need that back.
Remember, this is the girl
back.
That would
just
leave.
Not tonight.
She's like, no, freaking why? No.
Hey, this isn't even mixed.
Me.
This isn't even mixed, Jessica. Let's go. Come on.
Got tape. Nothing coming out.
This is a mess. A big mess.
Nothing's coming out of that station. It's ridiculous, you know? My whole life is falling off a cliff. Oh, man. We just can't afford anything else to happen.
I got the garnish coming. Here's this. This is on a hot plate, though.
Damn it.
They're not crispy.
Not crispy.
They're not even crispy. I don't know why she's doing that.
Stop. Jessica.
Yeah.
Go.
No, please.
Go.
Not you, Chef.
Don't talk to me anymore. I want you out.
Out of this.
Scott,
what the hell was
that? Pushed you harder than anybody because I could see how talented you were at creating dishes. And not only are you artistic, but you've got this amazing determination as well.
Thank you, Chef.
Pretty well done. Jason, you have been the most consistent chef in Hell's Kitchen.
Well, thank you.
And your passion and your drive is remarkable. Oh. I'm extremely proud of how you've matured and just got stronger.
Oh, stop blowing smoke up his ass.
Yeah. Nice. Blowing smoke up his ass.
I have no intention of picking
I have
you.
Reached a decision. Both of you, step up and stand in front of your doors.
I want this more than ever. This is what I was chiseled out of stone for.
Oh, my God, shut up.
Smash through the door.
It's a stone giant or something.
Good luck, man.
Me too. I'd love to win this for my family. They're a part of everything I do. That's the reason I get up and go to work every day. They're the reason I'm here.
One, two.
Did he time jump? That's what it's like. He just traveled through time.
It's a wormhole exit.
I can't believe it. I'm still in shock.
Scott deserves it. He's got cooking skills up the wazoo. And I am truly very happy with
such
Scott.
Such a way with words.
How could you?
Yeah, he's a wordsmith.
I can't begin to give thanks to all those that are here that have helped me through every single day. To everyone here that has helped me through every single service.
turned into Peter Brady.
My beautiful family, who is, as you all know, is everything to me. It's an absolute amazing experience. So thank you to all.
Scott won tonight because he has all the qualities I'm looking for in a head chef. He is passionate, determined, and a true leader.
Nice.
He's an artist plating food and has a phenomenal palate. There's no doubt in my mind that he's got a great career ahead of him.
Whoa.
And he's back.
And he's not like a giant troll like Jason was.
Yeah, it's one thing to be kind of crazy, but he was just obnoxious.
Yeah, and he never stopped, like even when he was supposed to be serious. I love, they love showing that clip of when he went, oh, 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 oh. Look, the part where he like yelled, he was like, oh, and the camera shook. They love that.
I kind of felt bad for him when he was all teary eyed.
Oh, I did too.
I would have liked to have known what Gordon said to him as Scott was walking through the door, because you could see Gordon talking.
Yeah.
Like, whenever Scott walked through, like, all mouth agape, it's just like, oh.
You should be proud of yourself. What for? I lost!
I suck! I'm terrible! No one likes me!
Screw you, Gordon Ramsay! Yeah. I'll never cook again!
I'd like to think that Gordon was like, oh, yeah, you know, come work in my kitchen in so-and-so places.
I like when he goes, don't ever stop cooking. It's like, well, I wasn't planning on it, but...
Unless I lose both of my arms, I'll cook with my feet.
All right, guys, let's take a break, and we'll be right back. See you in a minute. Two and two as, what's this? No, don't do that, Jason. All right, guys, be right back.
No freaking way.
What brings a cool cat like you here?
Wow, this totally awesome way. Now I need a really rad breakfast to help get me back home.
Then follow your nose. Smell the natural orange, lemon, and cherry flavors of Kellogg's Fruit Loops. A most delicious part of this complete breakfast. Another bowl?
That'd be gnarly, dude.
That means yes, doesn't it?
Does this make sense, Dave? Looks like a secret message.
You can send and receive secret messages with the Rescue Ranger Secret Decoder. Two free in Kellogg's Fruit Loops.
It's the Pizza Head Show.
Hey, everybody! I just saw the Star Wars trilogy at the theater, and hey, what's that?
The Death Star is targeting us, and Princess Steva says you're our only hope.
He's no princess!
Sure he is.
No, I won't be home! Now what's happening?
Uh-oh.
It's Darth Steve. Use the balls, Pizza Head.
Too late! I'm here! I'm going to make the Pizza Hut where it's safe! I don't think the Force was with me.
Now you can collect one of three Star Wars posters when you buy a Pizza Hut Kids Pack.
Master Lightyear's
Welly Glob
could be more disgusting. How about some bubbling boiled angry glob?
Now I'm losing my lunch.
Monster Face, the gruesome monster head you make and remake into the most monstrous monsters imaginable.
It's alive!
Then you bring it to life.
Now for the test.
Monster Face comes with everything shown here.
Now, Pringles potato chips.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
Bags and bags of chips in a tube.
You taste them. You love them. You want them.
Once you pop, pop, pop.
Once you pop, pop, pop.
New Pringles.
Pop, pop, pop.
In three flavors.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
Kraft Macaroni and Cheese presents Super Mario Brothers.
It's pop 'em, stop 'em, Oni.
On land, we're under the sea, Oni.
Up or down the drain, I'm Oni.
There's always adventure, Oni.
It's that cheesy macaroni.
It's Kraft Super Mario Brothers. Now it's your turn to put a bite on Bowser.
It's a stupid spin jump, Oni.
Or a subterranean train, Oni.
It's up to bottom, you're my Oni.
Come on, Mario. Come on, Mario, jump!
Oh. I give up.
Wanna grow? The calcium in milk helps bones grow.
Okie dokie.
What do you get when you cross a tiger with a hedgehog?
Electronic Sonic!
It's Tiger's new Sonic the Hedgehog handheld game. Sonic fun for kids on the run. Energize yourself with power sneakers and the invincible cube. Use a supersonic spin attack to smash Dr. Robotnik's evil robots. Sonic the Hedgehog, supersonic fun for kids on the run. New from Tiger.
To make more money? Of course we all do. So find out how easy it is to train at home for a better career. Just get a pencil and paper right now and write down this toll-free number. There's absolutely no obligation. At International Correspondence Schools, More than 10 million men and women have trained for job promotions and new careers without setting foot inside a classroom. And now at home in your spare time, you can get your career diploma or even your degree. Choose from any one of these courses. High school, TV VCR repair, computer programming, auto mechanics, bookkeeping, learning the personal computer, electrician, legal assistant, animal care specialist, interior decorating, child daycare, medical dental office, gun repair, small business management, teacher aid, catering and gourmet cooking, electronics, air conditioning repair, drafting, hotel restaurant management, fitness and nutrition, PC repair, or get your degree. You can major in business management or accounting. Compare your present salary with the money you could be making in any one of these careers. They'll be repeated for you at the end of this commercial, so have your pencil ready to jot down the course you're most interested in. Then call the ICS toll-free number, and we'll send you one of these exciting career packs absolutely free with all the information you need. Your career pack explains how easy it is to study at home, tells you about the many success stories of other people just like yourself who trained through ICS and got better jobs. And that's not all. You'll also see the exciting learning material included in your course at no extra cost. They make it easy and fun to train for that better career. Here are those courses again, so call today for free information.
Call now for the free information Sally Struthers spoke about. Then decide if you want to train at home for a better career to make more money or advance in your present job. Call 1-800-228-3800. Operators are on duty now to send you free information by return mail. Choose any one of these exciting careers.
Hey, did you see this?
Yeah, I gave up on the buzzer.
I think we all did.
I listen to WNCS.
Yeah.
From 98.5, they play all the classic cuts all the time.
Yeah, the great. Good classic rock. It's great.
That's the music we grew up with.
That's it. They don't play the flavor of the week.
That's right.
You know, you hear stuff you really enjoy
and listening to all the time. And I can leave it on NCX all day and not hear the same songs over and over and over.
98.5 WNCX, where Cleveland now comes to rock and roll.
Automatic. 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 Estee Lauder's signature automatic pencils for eyes, lips, and brows in a lineup of beautiful colors. They're retractable and never, ever need sharpening. They keep their shape to line, define, color, and emphasize every time.
So you get the point. Automatically.
Signature automatic pencils. Now at May Company.
Announcing the Great American Gem, Mineral, and Jewelry Show this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday only, March 30th to April 1st at the IX Center. Over $5 million in fine gems, jewelry, minerals, and fossils in a spectacular exhibition and sale. Something in every price range, plus a large sampling of American Indian silver jewelry. The Great American Gem, Mineral, and Jewelry Show in Cleveland, 3 days only. This Friday through Sunday at the IX Center in Cleveland, Ohio, March 30th to April 1st.
Just for you. Ta-da!
An automatic transmission?
Yep, a new 4-speed automatic from our Hyundai dealer.
Am I missing something here besides a clutch?
Only the fact that this new Hyundai Excel with automatic is less than any Sentra, Civic, or Escort with a stick.
This can't be.
By as much as $900.
Amazing.
Hey, Excel is the lowest priced automatic in America.
Now that's an automatic savings plan.
Did she really say that?
Limited time cash rebates will save you hundreds on all new Excel. See your dealer for details.
Surprise! When you get close to people, you want to feel safe. You can with Safeguard deodorant soap. So go ahead, hug a person. You're safe. Go on, hold a person. You're safe, because you're a Safeguard person. Gentle antibacterial crystals are added to Safeguard for deodorant soap protection that really lasts. So don't be shy. Twirl a person. You're safe. Squeeze a person. You're a Safeguard person. Safeguard helps make it safe to get close.
We all have to start somewhere. And you always think that, oh, what's the point? You know, I'm so out of shape now, there's no point. The 30-minute workout is computerized. You program the machine, you set it to your strength level, and you work against that. Definitely the 30-minute workout, that's the way to start. It's the way to finish. It's just the way to do it.
And now you can do it and get summer free or 50% off enrollment at Valley Scandinavia.
Watch them fly!
Be a part of the thoroughbred excitement at Thistledown this Saturday, beginning with the $30,000 Quick Step Handicap. Then, watch and wager on live simulcast of the $500,000 Jim Beam Stakes from Turfway Park and the $100,000 Week of Fame Derby from New Orleans.
Feel your heart! Presenting a day in the life of Ronald McDonald. We find Ronald in bed, his alarm clock about to go off.
Well, Ronald, I'm off now.
See you tomorrow.
Next, it's time to take a bath. But he finds someone has already taken it. So it's on to his vast closet to decide what to wear.
What to wear.
Greeting his ever-present fans.
Hi, fans.
You're the greatest one.
He pauses to put smiles on the Fry Kids' faces. After answering phone calls...
Yes? What? I'm here!
He hops a cab and goes to a recording session with an actual rock band. On a day that would exhaust any ordinary clown, Ronald joins the McNuggets for box seats at the opera. Then heads home just in time to catch the evening news and tell the Fry Kids their favorite bedtime story.
Once upon a time, there was...
Come on.
Thank you, Ronald, for sharing your day.
You're going to have me some fun.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Mambo.
All right, we're back. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Oh, nothing.
Pretty cool, yo.
Yeah.
Great to be doing the show with you guys. It'll be so cool next week you'll be here.
Yes.
All right.
I got a nice email today, Bill. Says they're looking forward to my stay on Thursday at the Best
Western. Oh, that's great.
I started laughing. I was like, when am I staying at the Best Western? Oh.
Oh.
Because I had to open at that point saying, where am I going for
a work thing. I'll take Jason with me when I check in just as a person so they can go, wait, this says Steven Sisko. Like, no, check the note. It says for Bill Lochner. See, that's me.
See, mate.
I've booked rooms for people off.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I
suppose. All right, guys, let's talk about MasterChef. I hope they never get rid of Cutter because he's so entertaining.
Oh, my God. He's the epitome of just cluelessness.
It's so sad. He doesn't get eliminated because there's always somebody worse than him, you know?
This one shocked me.
I honestly
thought he was gone.
I thought at least she tried.
Yeah
exactly. Like she tried.
I love when he's like, so are you just making what you want and not what the judges want to see? And he goes, yep.
Yeah.
I love this.
At least he's honest.
This is an artisan personal pizza.
When he said artisan, I knew he was going to get it.
So artisan basically means handcrafted, right?
It's one of those marketing buzzwords now.
Mm-hmm.
They throw artisan on anything that they think people go, oh, it's artisan. I'm going to buy that.
Like artisan bread, like
yes.
Baked and created right there or something. But he didn't even use pizza crust. What was that he used? Like
He just used basic flour and egg.
It's like dough,
yeah.
Isn't it?
It looked terrible. It was yellow. It just looked
like a bad cookie. Oversized cookie. It was so thick.
I was trying to decipher the madness and I couldn't.
I love this one. Joe is so proud of his ingredients here. Let's check this out. It cracked me up. How many bottles of wine were in that basket?
4, 5, 6.
Is he a wino? Just drinking wine all the
major
time?
Major wino.
All right, let's check this out.
It's his wine.
Yeah, he's got, cause he even busted out the wine in Restaurant Startup. Did you see that? He goes, you're going to be drinking a lot of this wine.
Well, he's the consummate businessman. He's always got to be selling.
Yeah.
Always be selling.
And it has been so pleasant not having Walmart on everything.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad people gave him shit for that.
There was even a commercial for Kroger during the show.
Wow.
I was like, oh, we don't have to watch Walmart commercials. So let's check this out.
That's right, everyone. Christian, pick my basket.
Surprise.
Those are some of my favorite ingredients. We have beautiful wine. We have the king of all cheeses, Grano Padano, Prosciutto San Daniele, Chanterelle mushrooms, fresh artichokes, aged Aceto Balsamico Tradizionale di Modena, and of course, garlic.
Now, is everybody ready?
Yes, yes chef.
Garlic.
Kata, your chef.
How are we doing?
Doing all right.
Kata.
What's the dish?
I'm going to do some little flatbread crisp pizzas.
And why pizza, though?
I like pizza, and I just want to do a spin on pizza, and I like the ingredients that we got, and I think it'll come out with a good pizza.
Yep. So it's all about what Cutter likes, again, not what the judges want to see.
Yep.
Wow. So how do you make a pizza dough with no yeast?
I'm just going to use an egg and some baking powder, just kind of fluff it up a little bit.
Yep. You've got just under 40 minutes to nail it. Good luck.
Thanks.
You good?
No.
Oh, no.
I messed up my pasta dough, so this is pretty much over for me.
Do not give up. Why is it messed up?
It's too dry. I don't know how to incorporate more liquid into it. I do not know what I did wrong.
Well, it's like slightly breadcrumby. Yeah?
Yes.
You cannot give up now.
Okay.
Okay?
No, I'm out of here.
Come on, Lise, you got it.
There's something to salvage in there.
Thank you, Chef.
No more flour.
No more.
We don't give up.
I'm sorry, Chef. Thank you.
Continue with that.
I'll get back on it, Chef.
You can do it, and you're not going to throw the towel in like that.
Okay.
There you go. You take over the rest.
I will. Yes? Thank you for helping
me. Good luck.
Next up, Cutter, please. Thank you.
Cutter.
Wow. Is that it?
That's it, Chef.
That's it. Holy mackerel. Christian gave Courtney 30 minutes. Did you give Cutter 10 minutes? Describe the dish, please.
It's an artisan pizza with a basil, oregano...
Hold on a minute. Just let me interrupt you there. An artisan pizza.
Well, that's what the menu says when I go to the pizza restaurant that I like. They call them artisan pizzas, and they list all the different pizzas.
Artisan pizza.
California Pizza Kitchen.
I don't know what else to name.
Yeah, my name's Gordon Ramsay, not Stevie Wonder. Right, well, first of all, I feel like I'm at a kids' party, and some mini pizzas come out.
Pretty funny, Gordon.
Maybe describe it again, and I'll try and hear it this time.
Okay, so I have a pizza here with a tomato, basil, and oregano sauce, prosciutto, and mushroom, and artichoke
oregano.
Coffee.
Why a pizza?
I didn't want to just throw the spaghetti in the pot and boil the spaghetti, and I wasn't that comfortable in making the pasta, so I made
a
dough.
That's just two ideas, spaghetti or pizza.
It's just not good enough. It's not MasterChef.
Pasta is so easy.
Man, enjoy your mini pizza.
All kidding aside, the ingredients I picked out were meaningful to me. Important ingredients in every kitchen.
And you shit all over.
Where the Grana Padana cheese comes from, what milk it's made out of?
No, sir.
Do you know what a caper is?
It's the milk
I don't know
of
what
turtles.
They taste like, but I don't know what they
Do
are.
You know what balsamic vinegar is?
It's the black salad dressing.
This is the difference
Jesus.
Between excelling in this competition and being sent home. Why did you put sauce underneath
That's
it
racist.
As well? I mean, if it had any chance of being a pizza, it'd be crispy.
I was just trying to get some color on the plate.
Wow. Cutter's quite the artist.
A waste of our time and your time.
He's a shit.
It pissed Joe
here.
Off. It pissed Gordon off. But I thought it tasted good. It'd definitely be a pizza I would order.
So is this the second meal he's thrown away of Cutter's?
Yeah. How many meals do you have to throw away?
Yeah. And does the guy not realize that you're trying to like impress them, not just like kind of scoot by?
He'll be out soon. I'm shocked that he's lasted this long. This is. Just in that moment, like, do you know what Grano Padano's from? Like, do you know why it?
I want him to go, Ronald McDonald?
It's from the Padano cow.
Ronald McDonald cheese? What the hell are you talking about, Joe?
Clown cows? What? cows.
And that girl, Courtney, you know, he's like, she'll only have 30 minutes. Well, he wanted me to look bad, but he put a spotlight on me. It's just like, oh, my God. So she's going
to
be
the spotlight.
She's going to be one of the final ones, but she's not going to win. Whoever's against her is going to win.
And she'll be crying, and her mascara will be running, and it'll be wonderful.
All right, let's talk about Hotel Hell, Bill.
Hotel Hell.
Oh man, I love that theme song.
Oh, it's great.
You know, I think we talked about this the first season it was on, but this is the closest thing the way that it's done. To Kitchen Nightmares UK.
Yeah, it is. It's underproduced as opposed to everything else he's done.
Yeah, it's Gordon Ramsay basically. It's Kitchen Nightmares with hotels, but he is narrating everything.
Yeah, so it's cool. Is it one potato, two potato?
Yeah, one potato, produces two potato. It. Yep, yeah. Sure is. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I mean, I dig the show. It's a lot of fun. And these people, I don't know how people run hotels or how you, it seems like it'd be really hard to do.
It seemed like the lady that was in this episode didn't actually want to have to run a hotel.
She wanted to sing. I love how all the looks of people, like, they're just eating, and all of a sudden they're, like, frozen, like, oh, my God, what the hell is happening?
And like 10 minutes later, she does the same songs in the bar.
Yeah, she does the same songs. I love when Gordon's like, well, I'm going to go to the bar. And he's like, oh, it's much better in here. And then she does in here, too.
Yep, every
She's
night.
She's following me.
And I love when Gordon takes her to see, he's like, I want to show you some people, and they're people who stayed there, and the guy's like, I'll pay you not to sing.
Yeah.
But my,
can you incorporate that into the stay, like the non-singing clause?
And the weird, like, thing where they have to sign a waiver for the walls.
Oh, yeah, that they won't get shit on the walls.
Yeah, what was that about?
$7 a square foot to do the Italian walls.
Yeah, what the hell?
But I promise not to smear my own feces on the wall. Yeah.
Somebody spilled wine on.
Oh.
Yeah, once. How?
Once, yeah.
You
once.
Would think
once,
that yeah. coating, nothing, anything could wipe off
like
of it.
It looked like glass, didn't it?
Well, yeah. it's hilarious.
It's like
that
plastic.
That's how much she doesn't want to do any work.
Yeah.
Is that she wants to charge people for stuff that, so she doesn't have to do it. And then he like redesigns the pool area, and she's like, all I see is work.
Oh, I know. And when she was like, where's my stuff?
Who's
where are the grapes that were
in?
Here on the wall?
Who's going to bring this in every night?
Mm-hmm.
Where's my fake grapes?
Oh, I love this part where there's this really goofy guy who works in the kitchen, and I loved him right away where he says, sir, after everything. And he has this goofy laugh. Let's check this part out. And then Gordon goes to the pool for a swim.
Uh-oh. Yeah, just so he can show off his package again.
Yeah, let's check this out.
We haven't met yet, have we?
Say again, sir?
We haven't met yet, have we?
No, sir, I'm David.
David, what'd you do?
Yes, sir, I'm a pantry.
Pantry?
Yes, sir.
Talents. Oh. Are you trained, David?
Well, it's trained a little bit, sir. I've been around, sir.
And where's your love of food coming from? Where'd you...
My father.
Your father. That's a chef?
No, sir, my dad was a nurse, but he loved to eat.
Wow. He also loves methamphetamine.
I have the second calamari selling right now, ma'am.
Heard. Just 2 seconds.
Yes, sir.
It's already breaded.
Oh, yes,
fried.
Sir. I'm going to fry it right now, sir.
That's already cooked.
Yes, sir.
So when was it cooked?
Oh, actually, we get it in a box, sir. We get it from a fish company, sir. Completely frozen.
Just touch that?
Oh, yes, sir. It feels like rubber. I don't eat the fish here, sir.
How come you know this and you're still doing it?
My opinion doesn't matter in this restaurant.
If you know it's bad.
Yes.
And yet you just, against your will, do it.
Life.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Holy
I hope tonight's
shit.
Guest can remain as positive
it's
as
like
David
Spicoli.
Has. I had a rough night's sleep
nice
with that
drumming.
Bloody Cher tune going round and round
rubber.
My head. I'm hoping I can wash that tune out of my brain with a quick swim. And that's not all I'd like to forget. My first day at Maison was crazy. Within hours of my arrival, the general manager was fired.
What an untrustworthy, backstabbing son of a bitch you are.
And wow. I had to endure torture by Kalioki.
I really didn't mean to hurt you.
Today has got to be better than yesterday. Let's hope the pool guy came. The pool is still dirty.
What the hell is that?
What a joke.
Yeah,
I mean,
candy
what a badly
bar.
Utilized space. I mean, you think of a hotel anywhere in New Mexico. God, one thing is an asset. This is cool. I mean, this space could be the best thing about this hotel, yet it's just abused. Dirty, not even a towel out here, so. I'm in there. That's disgusting. So, no morning swim for me, but at least I can enjoy a good breakfast to start the day. God, that's all they've got to offer. How depressing is that? This is crazy. I've got to find some breakfast. I'm starving, and cold
offer.
Coffee isn't going to do it.
It's a free society.
Yeah, I like he goes to that...
farmer's market.
Yeah, and that guy's there. Hey, man. Hey, Gordon, sir. Hey. I do quesadillas, sir. And he's like, oh, these are delicious. And then he has them working in the kitchen later. But when they show that candy bar, he goes, what the hell is that?
You know for a fact one of his producers snapped a candy bar in half and threw it in the pool.
Oh, I know. And you know what? It looked to me like a whatchamacallit or something.
Yeah, I thought it was a Snickers.
It was because it's a nice rectangle, you know?
Yeah, like, it's perfect. It's not like it's like, why didn't they just get a Baby Ruth? Why didn't they do the Caddyshack thing?
I know. What now?
They don't want to be sued by Caddyshack.
Why is there a candy bar in the pool? Are there children out here?
That was so funny. Yeah, some of that seems so set up where he's like, okay, well, I'm going to go eat some breakfast. What? All there is coffee? It's like you already knew that before you walked
in
there.
Yeah, you knew there was no continental breakfast.
Wow.
No Texas-shaped waffles.
I do think it's weird, like, when he walks in, like, there's no sign on the building. That's pretty weird.
I would not be staying somewhere where there was no sign. It's like a Bates Motel.
Yeah.
I've been around, sir.
Sir?
That guy can't be real. They had to have found that. I mean, that just the way he talks, you know, a mile a minute, sir, ma'am. That's no way.
He's an interesting guy.
Life.
Is this a court?
Are you sure there's no pot in this calamari?
No, but there is in the brownies, man.
Yeah, man.
That guy, he reminded me of the dude in RoboCop, you know?
Yeah.
Except there ain't nothing free, because there's no guarantees, you know? You're on your own.
That's what he's like, yeah, man. I love he runs a food truck where it looked like all they sold was quesadillas and like some kind of
weird juice.
Juice he makes.
Yeah, there's something in that. I think there's some blue meth in that juice.
And it's like, oh, okay.
It's the Eisenberg juice, man.
What in the hell?
All right. The Strain, guys. Did you guys watch it?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, there's basically, you know, what's funny is I didn't even think about it, but in the advertisements or advertisements, as Gordon would say, is an eclipse. And someone mentioned on this episode, one of the characters, that an eclipse was coming. And I was like, oh shit. That's when all the shit's going to hit the fan, isn't it? When there's no sunlight.
Sweet.
Oh, it's going to be hell. But my favorite scene in the whole show where I got excited because, you know, I love backstory, like hinted to backstory. And it's when the Strange, apparently he's a German. We find out that he's a Nazi vampire, whatever he is. And he goes to visit Abraham, who's now in jail. By the way, is he in jail because he had that sword at the airport?
At the airport.
He really needs to get out of there. But there was this really great scene where that guy sat down with him to talk to him.
And he didn't even call him by his name. He called him by his number.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty messed up. But let's check out the scene. I thought it was fantastic. Let's check it out.
You've grown old. 8230385. I, of course, surprised to see me.
It has been many years. You look exactly the same.
Your heartbeat is irregular. I can hear it, Jew. Clear as a bell.
Did the coffin cross the river?
What do you think?
And where is your master now?
Watching you through me. The great game is over, Jew.
Not while I still breathe.
Amazing. Despite all evidence to the contrary, you cling to the delusion that you will prevail. Don't tell me you still believe in that god of yours. So where is he? Why has he done nothing? Face the truth. He's nothing but a figment of your imagination. Your arrest report says you were apprehended with an antique sword. Is it Sartu's?
Don't worry. I will give it back to your master in due time.
That is amusing. And her heart. Do you still have that as well? Oh, you are such a sentimentalist. You might like to know this.
This guy's an asshole.
She struggled at the very end, but she never cried out. I thought that strange, not even a whimper. Only a single word. Abraham. But you were not there to help her. Do you feel great regret?
I will avenge her.
You will not avenge anyone. You're not a hero or a savior. You're just a number. I took your name and gave you that number. And that's all you are. It's good for you that you are in here. It's the only place you can feel safe. Safer than the streets will be very soon. You might survive a little longer. I want you to watch it unfold, unable to do anything to stop it. And when you die, it will be the master's eyes you see last.
Remember your old friend, Trevor Haven? Would you like to know why he isn't here to share your glory with you? Because I cut him to pieces with that sword and dumped his parts in the North Sea. I'll see that you're reunited with him very soon.
Until next time. A230385.
What the hell is that?
I really hope that Abraham gets a chance to kill that asshole, don't you?
Yeah, that's going to be a good moment.
But I just thought that scene was really awesome.
And we get a little bit of his backstory and the heart. Because we were wondering from the first episode whose heart that is.
Yeah, we can pretty much figure out that it's someone that he loved dearly. And he didn't have the heart to snuff out. No pun intended. Maybe intended
it does
a little.
Have a heart.
But they tried to do this before, the master, and he somehow kept it from happening, right?
Right.
That's what I assume. He stopped it, maybe, or delayed them, and now it's happening again, but unfortunately he's an old man. And wouldn't you have...
So had to teach Ephraim how to do this.
Yeah, but maybe he should have. I mean, it's probably hard to explain to someone, but maybe you've showed him the heart.
Yeah.
Like, prepare an apprentice for it to happen again. But you know what's interesting? They also introduced this new character. He's the exterminator guy who kills rats.
Yeah.
I wonder what he's going to, if they're just setting him up to die or if he's going to be some heroic guy. I don't know, but... I like the introduction of his character. I wonder what more is going to happen. What did you guys think of that scene with the rocker guy with the chicks? What the hell was that?
Oh, yeah. His hair's coming out. It seems like the well, so I guess they're vampires
they're starting to switch.
Yeah, how creepy. The lady sitting there and she's drinking from a glass and her blood goes in her drink and she's like, well, I better get home. It's like, I'd be a little like maybe
concerned? Was one of her teeth in the water?
It might have been.
Because she touched her mouth. Because it looked like a tooth.
Well, one thing that they all say, they keep hearing a sound in their ears.
The buzzing.
And it's the master.
Calling.
It's like a distant voice, they said. But the part that I thought was pretty creepy, when the old man is going to meet the master, and he goes, aren't you going to look at me? And he kind of looks, and you can see he's like, holy shit. He just kind of looks away for a second.
Like, yeah, the guy that always plays a butler in movies.
Do you have a feeling this thing is going to look horrifying when we finally get a look at it? Like,
will we ever get a look at it? Sometimes it's just better seeing this gigantic hulking figure hovering over people.
How freaking tall is that dude?
That thing's like 12 feet tall.
And he said, was that so-and-so's sword? I couldn't really get the name, but was that sword that Abraham had, did it used to be the master's? Maybe?
I have to assume so.
Very interesting. But it's cool seeing how everything's developing. And when Ephraim and the girl are like, we need to go to the morgue and check out, see what's going on. I was like, don't go there.
Yeah, don't go to the morgue. And we're starting to get more of Ephraim's backstory. And he's an alcoholic. And his, I don't know if his work or his alcoholism or both of them separated him from his family.
Yeah. Both. Yeah, pretty much. And his wife has moved on. She's got a boyfriend and stuff. I'm wondering just how quickly all hell's going to break loose. I'm very interested in that. They did set up, Bill, you and I talked about it, they have these ultraviolet lights. Aren't you wondering if those are going to come in handy later?
Yeah, I like the way they introduced that. You think of vampires, you think of, you know, the ultraviolet and all that, and mm-hmm. whenever they went to shine it on the guy's skin, I was like waiting for his whole head to burst into flames or something.
Yeah, there was a whole ultraviolet room that he's looking at the body. I was waiting for it to go
sizzling or something.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see when.
Once it.
I can't wait for when the storyline is like everyone is aware what these things are and they're fighting them. That, you know, that point.
Right.
But maybe. I know this is all set up right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I like that they're starting to feed in this episode and we see the way it feeds and it's horrifying.
It is. It's worse than just biting on the neck, isn't it?
Yeah it's thing. Like some sort of like alien
tongue tentacle
face thing.
That was what was so creepy in the first episode. It showed when the master bit that dude, not only did it suck all of his blood, but at the same time it was injecting a worm into him. And it's just like, and then it smashed his head. And did you wonder, like, maybe he's like, he didn't want him to be one. That would be the only reason to smash his head, wouldn't it?
I would, yeah, that's a good assumption.
Because
yeah.
he went out of his way to just keep smashing it and squishing.
You're wondering if he was, I'd say maybe drugs or alcohol, he, you know, could taste something different.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
Oh, that's possible, yeah.
Like maybe
it was like almost poison, not quite poison to him, but it was just like he didn't like what it was.
I don't know. That's, I do like when they all find his body and they're like, what? Could have done this to his head.
is that his head? Or what did he say? Like, where's his head? And he goes, that is his head.
That is his head. Yeah. I just want to, this is one of those shows where I wish I could binge watch the whole season, like, right away.
I completely agree. Because the moment it's over, I was like, that's it?
Like, with the little girl in the bathtub, it's so creepy. And then end credits,
just,
I'm like,
yeah,
that's
she just
it?
Sat right to her mouth with the water. You know, yeah. Like,
she's like, I'm hungry. And he's like, oh, okay, well, can I... It's just like, I thought you wanted a sandwich or something.
Just the dead eyes staring as her father's head sinks below the water.
And they did it again where they played a music in the background to set this weird atmosphere, and then that happened. It's so creepy.
Yeah, what was it? Because I was like, wow, that's creepily appropriate.
I can't even remember.
Damn like, it.
Nothing can top that Sweet Caroline, though. I still love that. I can't wait to watch more. I'm really digging this show.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to just really avoid the book because I want to read this now.
Oh, I know. It'd be, I'm wondering if it would enhance it or take it away. I don't know. It's so hard to know.
It is. I don't want to ruin it because I'm enjoying the show so much.
Yeah, totally. What do you guys say we talk about Defiance?
Defiance?
Ah, yes, Defiance. You know what? What's funny is I would think in the first season, I probably would have digged the Gulani warrior thing and that. But actually, I was more interested in the other storylines other than that. Like I dug the Stama thing, how she's dealing with the women in her race aren't supposed to...
They're supposed to kowtow to men.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be subservient.
And this religious guy comes up to her and gives her a hard time, and she goes to Daytac to ask him about it. And it's a pretty funny conversation. Let's check this out. Oh, and then she goes to
Amanda.
I can't even remember her name. Then she goes to Amanda. Amanda starts trying to tell her about men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
Yeah.
It's funny. You almost wish that they did have the internet where she could go, here, read this about the women's movement, you know?
Here's your data pad.
It was actually a lot like this. In some countries, it's still like this. But let's check this out.
Am I interrupting?
Not at all.
Rafe was just giving me an update on Christy and the pregnancy.
Hey, Stammer. I was just thinking, maybe we could invite Daytac over to the house for dinner this Sunday. Okay, maybe just dessert.
I'd like a word with my husband, please.
I'll see myself out.
Speak. What do you want?
How much did you pay the holy man to come after me?
You think I bribed Fabi Kerr? Well, even if I had the money, his honor is unimpeachable. Oh, I had nothing to do with this.
Then who?
Do you think our community is blind? You think no one would talk? What you've done to me cuts against the very grain of who our people are. Well, you're seen as a danger to them. Oh, especially the men. I know what you're thinking, my sweetest love. Spread some Jar Jar around. Make the problem go away. But with the boycott in effect, cash will soon be in short supply. And may I remind you, Fabi Kerr? Oh, he cannot be bought. There's nothing more dangerous to people like us than an honest man.
He would see me on a shaming rack.
I know. You look pretty.
But Mars is a dead planet. So is Venus. Your men and women could not have possibly have come from there. You know that.
It's an old world saying. It means men are dicks. Deal with it.
Oh. Still, I come from a culture that worships dicks. That will never change.
Oh, look around.
Dick worshippers.
Everything changes.
All the more reason for us to maintain our standards. We Cassethans owe our greatness to the strength and depth of our culture.
And who created this culture? Old men who scribbled it on tablets 1,000 years ago to keep you on your knees. Human women felt the exact same way. So we banded together. We changed things. We burnt our bras.
Why in three hells would you burn your undergarments?
Why three hells? I don't know. It was in a book.
Are you sure you're sober enough to be giving me advice?
Oh. Hey, cut me some slack. I've been off the Adreno now for 2 weeks. What I'm saying is just talk to the other Castathan wives. Bet you find out they're just as fed up as you are.
If they even knew I was talking to you in this way, they would cast me out. I'm alone. That's a dangerous place to be.
You're not alone.
I love that Daytac laugh. So, you know what was very interesting is that there are apparently people that like to dress up like Castathans and go to clubs and kind of,
act like them.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
That was really uncomfortable. I was when, what's his name? I don't want to call him Dickless.
William Atherton.
When the music's playing and he's putting the makeup on, I was like waiting for him to start the Buffalo Bill stuff.
Yeah, I was like, what is happening? What is going on?
He's like enjoying it way too much, putting the makeup on.
Yeah, because when he talks to Amanda, he's like, shed my skin or something. She goes,
people that like to act in a different skin or something.
Yeah, and I was like, what? What is he talking about?
Is he saying that he wants to have sex with an animal? Like, I didn't quite get it.
But I love that reveal at the end that there's like a club where people do that, and including a lax wife is there.
Yeah, what was that was creepy.
That was very interesting. I like that stuff. I mean, I am curious about the Arissa thing, that the people aren't dying, they're coming back to life.
And that the fact that that thing said that she's saving them.
Yeah, are they like sick and they don't know it? I don't understand. They just need to tell me and get it over with.
Or is she like after this thing went down with the girl, the between her and Tommy and she
in Berlin.
Yeah, and they kind of had a fight and she was watching her like maybe this thing is like sucking away bad memories or something. I don't know. Like there's, because she always says you won't remember any of this. So the way she was stalking her at the end of the episode, is she going to do that same thing to her and then the girl's going to wake up and not remember the fight with Tommy?
I don't know.
Well, like it was really interesting.
I thought it was very interesting. Like, they're not afraid to show sexual type of things on the show at all.
Yeah, that's like, when she was with Nolan and there was like full on grindage going on.
Well,
I was
even
like,
before
whoa.
That, she was like on top of Tommy and she was like filming it and he's like, right. What are you doing? She's like, hey, I'm into this. I want to document this sort of. Yeah. Like, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, this, and I think the one thing we haven't brought up is the fact that they brought the game into the show with the Arc Falls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that they go on a Nolan and, Prince Fancy Pants.
Pottinger, yeah.
Pottinger goes,
can we just say farewell, poor Churchill?
Oh, Churchill. Bioman is no longer Godzilla.
Poor Bioman.
He fought valiantly, though.
I like you sent him in there. Here, stab it with the spear thing. And just
yeah,
like,
this thing is going to suck your energy out of your body. Stab it.
You stab it in its face. The shield is weak there.
I read that I guess those warriors are in the game now. That's supposed to be a tie-in to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's I like that. It was kind of – it was fillery, but it was still interesting.
So basically, the William Atherton, he wanted – a warrior intact, maybe? I don't know. Or just their energy?
Yeah, I wasn't getting, obviously, if that thing breaks free, it's dangerous. So what?
Right.
Does he really think he's going to be able to harvest, you know, the technology?
Unlimited energy. But yeah, I don't think I'd even mess with that thing. The way it was just frying dudes, you know?
And when they smashed the glass faceplate, it wasn't even a creature. It was like a weird, what would you even call it? Like purple fireflies.
Yeah, I remember like before when Defiance was launching, they had a thing about all the different aliens. And I remember reading one. It was just this kind of glowing thing. It didn't have a body. I'm guessing that's what that was.
Yeah.
Like they wear some kind of exosuit. It's very strange. I don't really understand all the alien species and how they work. I mean, I know the Castathans and the Arathians. The Arathians, they kind of call her like the lower dwellers. They're like more like animals and scavengers, you know? And the Castathans are these uptight beings. And then there's the Votans who are like the Dok. And they're like these kind of, genetic type supposed to be perfect beings or something.
Right.
And the Biomen, they're just like, you know, synthetic men just bred to be warriors, right?
Right.
Yeah, they're the stormtroopers.
And the Sensoths, as near as I can tell, is they're servants, you know, either like the Birdie or the Raga, who are like just answer the door and stuff. So we don't really see much from those. So it's very interesting. It's a cool show. I'm really digging this season.
Yeah, this season's been a lot of fun, but darker. And I'm just glad that they're kind of, I don't know if they're explaining it, but they're not putting as much effort into the whole Orisa thing, because that can't end soon enough.
Right, right. I just wanted to go back to normal.
Yeah, let's have some fun again.
Yeah, I want to have some
Could
fun.
Being mystical.
I love watching her flip around and throw those knives and stuff when fighting and stuff. I want some more of that stuff. And apparently, you know, they're showing that Tommy loves her in, you know, Berlin. He's just has fun fooling around with her. Did she describe Amarillo? Did she describe Amarillo as beachside? Didn't it sound like that was like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
like,
that's right. She did.
The kind of like Texas is halfway in the ocean, it sounds like. It's like Amarillo.
Halfway. Amarillo's in the panhandle.
The entire Texas,
wow.
Texas is underwater is what it sounds like.
That global warming for you.
Damn terraformers. All right, Bill, you want to do some news?
Let's do some news.
Woohoo, let's do it.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I'm glad Daytac found that amusing.
He loves the news.
What do we have in the news this week, Bill?
Daytac might be able to sympathize with this next story. Everyone's favorite 80s couple, Paul Hogan and Linda Hogan, formerly Linda Kozlowski, are in the middle of a divorce.
Okay.
Yeah. That's sad news, really. It's just been finalized that Paul Hogan gets to keep the rights to the name Crocodile Dundee.
Out of the way, Dobie!
That's important.
He still cares about that?
Or? He still cares about it. He gets to keep the rights for the character and the film company that produced the movies. Linda is getting a lump sum of $5.775 million from Paul.
Jesus.
In news, Paul has $5.775
million.
All right.
That just kind of blows my mind. She gets to keep living in their Venice house until 2018, or until she remarries, whichever happens first. She also has the option to buy the house for $1.59 million.
I know.
So she's now officially back to the name Linda Kozlowski. So if anybody's looking her up on IMDb for a film role, look under Linda Kozlowski.
Oh, you know, when that came out, I thought she was very hot.
Oh, my God. That scene, her in the one's piece and going into the water. Oh.
Nah, just a load of junk.
No, junk in the trunk. All right. FX is renewing two critically acclaimed shows. Fargo will return for a second season.
Awesome.
And Louis C.K.'s acerbic comedy, Louis, will be back for a fifth season.
Okay.
For the anthology series Fargo, the story will feature an all-new cast and a different time period setting and have a new true crime story that will unfold across 10 episodes.
Come on, man.
That sounds very cool because in this, the series that just aired, Keith Carradine plays the father of one of the main characters.
Oh, okay.
And he talks about this horrible crime that he had to solve in his past, and he just hinted at it. And apparently that's what this season's going to be about, when he was a rookie cop and that happened. So they kind of they hinted at it. It's pretty cool.
All right. They're saying that they suggested here in the article that the writing in Fargo was superior to HBO's often compared True Detective. I haven't watched True Detective, but I've heard people love it.
I don't understand why they have to even compare them. They're both great shows.
Well, I guess because they're like there's anthology series and they kind of mess around with cast and timeline. Yeah. It's just they can't resist it.
True Detective. What was great about that show, honestly? Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson were fantastic in it, and they don't get along at all, and the scenes between them are fantastic. That's worth watching it, seeing how Woody Harrelson is annoyed by everything that Matthew McConaughey says. Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the first two episodes, and then it's not that I stopped watching because I didn't enjoy it. Just I got sidetracked and figured I could catch it all, you know, I could binge watch it. Later on HBO Go.
Right. I definitely think you should watch it. It was a fun show.
And I have all of Fargo lined up and ready to go. I was going to watch some of it, actually, as I'm going down there. You know, 2.5 hours on the plane, 2 hours in the airport.
All right, all right.
So I'll have it on my iPad and just watch it there.
Yeah,
hopefully
check it
it's
out.
Not inappropriate enough that people around me would be offended that I was watching it.
Sometimes it is.
Oh, great. Well, I guess people are just going to be pissed off. Right, up for Derby, Pennsylvania. Authorities in suburban Philadelphia say an injured 11-year-old boy walked into a community policing center to report his mother had severely beaten him for not doing his chores.
Oh, severely?
Yeah, Upper Darby police say they counted more than 24 welts and abrasions on the child's back, arms, and legs.
Holy shit.
You know what? You know, I've said it before. When I was a shit of a kid, I felt like I should get everything, and I was really difficult. I mean, hell, there was even a cabinet in our kitchen that held the paddles that we would get paddled with.
What a spoiled brat.
We never thought that the fact that we were buying a ball and paddle, that paddle would end up somehow across our ass cheeks.
Oh, dear. Like, but, this will be used on me later.
Yeah, we never registered. But, you know, I remember one time as a kid, I didn't want to go to school. So I was being really, really difficult for my mom, and she didn't want any of it. So she got a golf club and started smacking me with it.
Where? I mean,
where? Across my back, my legs, my ass.
Oh, my God.
Well, I wouldn't get out of bed. And eventually, I cried uncle, and we got in the car, and then I thought it would be smart of me to jump out of the car.
Was this metal?
Yeah. I mean, this wasn't like a titanium golf club. It was a full-on, I think it was a putter. It was my putter. She just started smacking me with it. I was difficult. I had it coming. You know, but this kid is obviously not of the same mindset. And now it's just so easy to, you know, that was always the threat. I'm going to call child services. Well, good. Maybe they'll take your ass away from me. You know, but this kid, he had enough gall to actually go to the police. Wow. And, Michael Chitwood, the police superintendent, says the boy told officers Tuesday his mother had hit him with her fists and a belt. They arrested the mother. She remains in custody, unable to post bail, and child welfare officials have placed the boy with a family member.
Wow. I can remember getting in trouble for skipping school in high school. Ninth grade, I skipped a lot because I hated it so much. I didn't actually get my act together till 10th grade because dealing with all of the horribleness of the ninth grade. But when my dad... The school called him and said, your son hasn't been to school in like 3 days. He was like, what? My dad worked in a frame shop and he made a paddle at work.
Oh, damn.
And he came home and he was holding the paddle. He goes, I made this at work. Bend over. This is what's going to happen when you lie to me. And I was like, oh. And I was like, no. But I had to do it. You know, you got to take your
licks. That was some creative pain-inducing there.
And I'll never forget, the paddle broke on the first hit.
Swat.
It was like, and just like fell to pieces. And I wanted to laugh, but I also wanted to cry.
Yeah.
Because then he was like, damn it, and he had to use his hand, and that wasn't as bad anymore. And I remember he gave me this list, the longest list. He sat there meticulously just writing chores I had to do every single day, you know?
Oh, man.
And I think by that Saturday, I was supposed to be grounded, and my friend Leonard called. He goes, dude, we're going to laser tag. No, it was called Photon. We're going to Photon. It was just like laser tag, where you wear like these power belts and wear this light sensor, just like in Sasquatch Gang. They go to a laser tag. But it was called Photon. And he was like, dude, you want to go? And I was like, I can't. I'm grounded. He was like, oh, come on. And I was like, well, my dad is at work. He won't know what time we're going to be back.
Oh, no.
And he was like, we'll be back by around 5. And I was like, okay, my dad, he'll probably get home around 7. Or okay, I'll go. And I went to Dallas for this thing. And when I got back, you know, I don't even remember if my dad was home or not, but I instantly got in trouble because I forgot of two things. My sisters, who ratted me out immediately.
Oh.
And it couldn't get any worse. I had already been punished enough. He couldn't think of anything worse. But that following year, I started going to school regularly.
Yeah.
I couldn't handle it anymore. It's too stressful having to not get caught and stuff.
Yeah, I don't even know how, like,
awkward.
I know the feeling of doing it, and you don't really think it through before you do something like that. Yeah, and now it's like I think about it, and like, how would you do that and not worry the whole time? But yeah. I've done it too, so.
You know what, I just remember the reason I got my act together is because my dad said, and it really struck me hard, he said, I don't trust you anymore. Anything you say, I think you're lying. And I was just like, whoa. And that really, like, affected me. I don't want to be one of those people that someone doesn't trust what I say, especially my dad. Like, if I tell him something, he's thinking he could be lying, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't want to be that person, so I immediately, I got my shit together, you know? And that really is, he, you know, a lot of times you argue with your parents, but he actually said something that got through to me immediately. I was like, I don't want to be one of those assholes that people don't trust, you know?
Yeah, for me, it was just the fact that I had, you know, the separated parents, and I would always play two sides.
Right.
And, like, if I could always go somewhere else, and I wasn't disciplined. I mean, I was disciplined in that I got the shit kicked out of me.
Yeah, but that doesn't work, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fleeting thing.
Yeah.
You know, they say pain's a great motivator, but honestly, pain doesn't really do shit.
Yeah, you're like, what, do you get smacked a few times and then it's over? You know?
Yeah. There's no lasting effect to it. It doesn't work.
Yeah. And I've never understood it, honestly. I've never had the desire to.
Yeah, but once, the first time you got smacked, you didn't want to get smacked again.
Right, right.
But I knew I would get smacked anyways.
But then when you get a certain age, you know that it's not that big a deal anymore.
Yeah.
Think about this. This is what's interesting, because I thought about it. There was a time when I was terrified, absolutely terrified of my dad. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You didn't want to get in trouble for shit.
Right.
And it's funny thinking about that now, that I was so insanely afraid, like, if I got caught doing something, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if maybe it was just my, there were times that I was afraid, sure, but I think I was actually afraid of other people more. Like, I never wanted to upset my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always afraid that I would. So I think at some point I don't want to say respect or just something died off in me at a very early age between my parents. And I think it actually had to do with a lot of resentment for the fact that, you know, they had split up.
Yeah. I mean, things like that, even if you're not conscious of it, it does affect you.
Yeah. I remember I got a book out of the library because I just thought it looked interesting. You know, you had to get a book from the library. So I just grabbed one. I was like, oh, okay. And it ended up being a book about divorce. And my mom found it in my room. And then she was like, I got like the third degree because of it. And then she told my dad. And then I was like, I didn't even understand what the hell they were talking about. Because I had just picked the book up. I didn't read it. I didn't know it was about, you know, my parents live in two different places now.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, they were really upset by that. And I had no idea why.
Right.
So, I mean, it obviously affected them, but for me, it was almost like Christmas every weekend. It was like, what could I get my dad to buy me now? You know, it just, it was very strange. Therapy helps, but it's still, you know, have to rationalize the childlike mind.
It becomes a thing where, like, acquiring something makes you feel better.
Yeah, and that's the way it was. It's very, very different. All right, out of the heavy area. Eagle, Idaho. This guy cracks me up because I immediately thought of, an MMO, because this is what we do. Whenever you get into a situation that you can't get out of, you're afraid you're going to get killed, where do you go? Water. Because none of the enemies go in the water. An Eagle Man's bid to escape arrest by wading into a pond on the Eagle Hills golf course didn't pan out Wednesday.
He didn't think they would go in the water.
No. Nathan M. McCoy, 21, was fished out of the water by deputies about a half hour after he went in. According to the Ada County Sheriff's Office, McCoy told deputies earlier in the day that a woman had violated a no-contact order against him. When the deputies discovered that was not true, McCoy, who is currently on probation in a stalking case, took off running.
Police caught his ass.
McCoy ran through several yards of nearby homes before ending up on the golf course. Deputies say they chased him on foot for about 15 minutes before he leapt into the golf course pond located near the fifth hole. Deputies were able to coax him out of the water after about 30 minutes, during which time only one golf ball landed near him. So people were trying to hit him with golf balls.
Yeah, you want to be a big cop in a small town?
He was arrested and charged with probation violation, filing a false police report, and resisting arrest. I love that. I'm going to go in the water. They can't get me in the water.
Did he have, like, that straw that he sticks up from the water?
he was prepared. He had the snorkel.
Golf clap?
Maybe,
golf clap.
Maybe there was a spare tire underwater that he could breathe air from. All right, this is huge news for people in Phoenix, Arizona. Alice Cooper's Addict and Thrift Store is opening on Saturday.
Nice.
The shop is full of great items, including personal and tour items from Alice Cooper and friends, featured in the area of the store called Coop's Corner.
What? So he's opening his own shop, huh?
He's opening a thrift shop. I guess restaurants aren't enough. By shopping at Alice's Attic, you're helping Solid Rock fund the free music and dance classes offered to the teens at the Rock Teen Center.
By the power of Grayskull.
I went to Coopertown when I was there.
Oh, yeah? Is that the restaurant?
Yeah.
So is that the place that has the big unit hot dog?
I guess.
Steven, you're supposed to know these things.
Are you serious?
I had sliders. Barbecue sliders.
So, so he has a lot of businesses there?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's a regular businessman, apparently.
No freaking way.
He's got a radio show there.
Oh. But I just thought it was funny that it's a thrift shop.
I know, like I remember in Wayne's World, it's pronounced Mealy-wa-kay.
Mealy-wa-kay.
Do you remember he gives him a little history lesson? And Wayne's like, I did not know that. It's pretty funny.
But like the
all right.
Waiters and waitresses have the eye makeup on.
Oh, God.
Nice.
That all right, is amusing.
I've mentioned this before that Bill Murray pops up in the craziest places. Well, a L.A. citizen named Joe, who's a huge Bill Murray fan and owner of CBT Soft Serve, which according to the website prides itself on bringing authentic East Coast soft serve to the West Coast's Froyo wasteland.
I want to party with you, cowboy.
Created an event called the Bill Murray Ice Cream Social. And he was just throwing it out there in hopes that maybe Bill Murray would show up. Well, Bill Murray showed up. Joe wrote to Gawker explaining the situation. He says, I own an ice cream shop business in Los Angeles, and I heard through the grapevine that Bill Murray was shooting a movie in his neighborhood last night. So he decided to throw a Bill Murray ice cream social set with the hope that he'd show up. I mean, how often do you get to meet your idol? I invited the entire neighborhood, cast and crew of the film for the free ice cream. And long story short, the guest of honor made it to the party, and the rest is history.
I spent most of my life in institutions.
Oh, good Lord. like my dad always says, you'll never dance with a pretty girl unless you ask. So he showed up, had ice cream, they took pictures, put them on Instagram, and I just thought that was really cool. Bill Murray seems like such a chill dude.
That's pretty sweet.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun 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 dun.
Okay.
And that's news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week.
You're quite welcome.
What do you guys say we do some DVDs?
I think it's time.
That'd be pretty nifty, wouldn't it? Let's do it!
Let's do some DVDs!
HD, Blu-ray,
standard definition! DVDs!
Woo! Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs, everybody!
Woo! So funny, every time I do that, she comes over here to play.
I come from a culture that worships dicks.
All right, Bill, what DVDs do we have this
week?
No, okay. Not this week, sorry. July 29th, 2014, starting with The Big Chill Criterion Collection on Blu-ray.
Sweet!
Yes, I love this movie.
You
Great
know what?
Music.
I don't think I've ever seen this movie in widescreen. I think I've seen it on cable in the 80s. I don't think I've seen it in HD or anything.
I've never seen it in its like original aspect ratio. This is one of those HBO movies that I've watched a million times.
Cool. I got to check it out.
Chill out or two.
I've been saving money for my trip down there, so I haven't been buying much, but I got to get this. I'll get it when I get back home, but this is the Lawrence Kasdan film with
Lawrence Kasdan.
The all-star cast. They all reunite for the is it the death of Kevin Costner?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I'm looking forward to seeing what all the extras are on it for
the
Criterion.
Trivia question forever. You go to the movies and they would show the slideshow and they go, Kevin Costner was cut out of the film The Big Chill, you know? It was going to be his big starring role and he,
I got chills.
Poor Kevin Costner.
Mm-hmm.
Next Blu-ray is a film I've actually been looking forward to. I wasn't sure if it would get a theatrical release here in the States, and I guess it didn't. But it's Cuban Fury with Nick Frost and Chris O'Dowd and Ian Chain.
Is that dancing?
Yeah, it's salsa dancing.
Sweet. And
I love Nick Frost and Chris O'Dowd. Wow. Chris O'Dowd plays like a major asshole in this, and he always plays a good asshole. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Hey!
All right, next we have Herzog, the Collection from Shout Factory.
Is this Werner Herzog?
Yes, it is Werner Herzog.
Jeez.
I don't think anybody can duplicate his voice.
Never mind.
What?
I can't remember his name. I'm doing it again where I blank out.
Oh, it's okay.
The guy who does Cake Boss on Comedy Bang Bang.
Oh, Paul F. Tompkins.
Paul F. Tompkins does a great Werner Herzog. He did it recently on Comedy Bang Bang. He goes, welcome, director, Werner Herzog. And he comes walking out, and he's got like a, you know, like the balding head and everything. He's like, it's very wonderful to be here. He just did like a perfect voice. It was funny.
There's moments in Life Itself.
I'll take it from here.
Where they interview Werner Herzog. Just because Ebert was such a champion of his films. Didn't they get Werner to like narrate this? Because everything he narrates is just, I'm captivated by.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But this is a set from Shout Factory, and it's 16 of his films, his early films. And it's a huge set and just looks amazing. And it's got pretty much everything that you could ever want from Werner Herzog.
Werner Herzog.
And that was the other thing. I was so upset that the character of the Zek in One Shot, the Jack Reacher book, that they turned into the film Jack Reacher, it's so dense. It's really layered, the character. And I was so disappointed that they didn't use it to like full advantage in Jack Reacher, because every moment Herzog is on screen, you're just like, that guy is awesome.
Yeah, they put him in it, but his role was very tiny.
Yeah, and in the book, he's so menacing. That's why every time my dad watches Jack Reacher, because he loves the movie, and I think he loves it because he misses Pittsburgh, but he loves the movie, and I was like, you gotta just listen to the audiobook, because that character is so much better, and this happens, and that happens, and this the ending's better, and this is better, and it's one of those movies that I can appreciate that, Tom Cruise's performance, Jai Courtney's good in it, Werner Herzog, or Herzog Werner is great in it, but it's just, the book is so good.
I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad he likes it too. You are not going to start barking now. I'm almost done. I promise. Don't give me those eyes.
Nah, you're a load of junk.
Yeah, you're a load of junk. Okay, next we have Noah.
Now let's get some cocaine.
No, right. Noah.
Noah, as in Noah's Ark.
As in Noah's Ark, yes. And I watched this movie this week. And holy batshit nuttiness.
Really?
It's like a comic book version of the Noah's Ark story. I was giggling. It's just, you know that they, just had an absolute blast putting this together. Like, well, let's get these, like, big rock fallen angel dudes and let's do this. And it's just, it's so far out of what I expected that I enjoyed it more because it's so nutty.
That is amusing.
Yes, it is. And this is another one of those ones where certain places get exclusives. So if you want the steelbook, you go to Best Buy. If you want the version with the music CD, you go to Walmart. And if you want the version with the wood slip cover and bonus disc, you go to Target.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds cool. A wooden so it's like an arc that it comes in?
Yeah, I'm sure it's fake. You know, it's probably laminate. It's not actual wood. It's wood from the Ark.
Cool.
Nice.
On Blu-ray, we have Ong Bak, the trilogy.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. Tony.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about the last film.
Oh, yeah.
Noah, how is Russell Crowe in that?
You know what? He's really good.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've always liked Russell Crowe.
He brings the gravitas. He looks great. His acting is really good. I liked it for what it kind of... its interpretation of the story.
Did you pick it, the Blu-ray, for a bit before you started it because it's different than what it's supposed to be?
No! God, I don't care.
Or anything like that?
It's the Old Testament. It's the, you know, they're parables. They're stories. It's... You can do whatever the hell you want with it. It's not blasphemous or anything like that.
Life.
Yeah, sir.
Yeah, sir.
It's in the Bible.
Yeah, Adam and Eve running around with dinosaurs.
Jeez.
A T-Rex in the Garden of Eden?
Oh, Christopher.
That's the best. I love it.
T-Rex in the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve will be running all the time, scared shitless.
He's right. They will.
I love that. All right, so on Bak-yong, Tony Yaa jumping
around.
Did
they have to do something with an elephant in the first one?
I thought that, yeah, something like that. It's
Dumbo of all Dumbos.
And I think the guy that directed him or just recently passed away.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, like something or other. One of the guys that directed one of the films or something. Yeah, so that dude, he's dead. But not Tony Jawa. Jawa?
Right.
Tony Jawa? Awesome!
Tini!
That's his name?
Tini!
No. Well, he's small like a Jawa.
Okay.
That's what we need. We need a martial arts film with nothing but Jawas. Like a Jawa walks into the room and everyone's like, oh great, one of those little trash thieves.
And then he starts busting the martial arts moves?
Yeah, it just kicks everyone's ass.
Oh dude, that would kick some ass.
I know, that's a spin-off Star Wars movie right there.
No,
Zack Snyder.
Instead of karate, what if he knew judo?
Screw the small judo man.
Yeah, you don't say that to the Judo Jawa.
Judo Jawa. Dude, that's the title. Judo Jawa. Right there.
Wow. I want to see that movie right now.
That movie would be pretty fantastic.
The Judo Jawa. All right, moving on. We have The Other Woman with Cameron Diaz and
Leslie Mann.
Leslie Mann and the girl with big boobs who's really pretty.
Kate Upton.
Yes, her. Yeah, and this is with,
I'm a woman!
Is it got the Kingslayer in it? Is he the bad guy? Like the guy that keeps sleeping with all the women?
Yes, Jamie Lannister.
Jamie Lannister is the man.
Coster, wait, how do you say his name? I don't know.
Yeah, I butcher names. This is name butchery
it's
right
like,
now.
It's so. Koster Waldau, or it's like
Werner Herzog. He said it better than I ever could. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right, and this is for the Twin Peaks fans. We have Twin Peaks: The Entire Mystery.
Why'd you hear about this, Steven?
Yes.
Bing, bing.
I didn't pre-order it, but I will buy it. I will get it.
Yeah, so it's the Twin Peaks on Blu-ray, Fire Walk with Me on Blu-ray. It's got tons of deleted scenes, apparently. This is gonna be pretty big for people that love this show.
Yeah, I know Heather absolutely loves Twin Peaks. I'm kind of like, I watched it and I'm amused by it repeatedly, or kind of from afar. I didn't really get into it.
Right.
I'm not like a huge fan or whatever, but it's
same
great.
Here.
I mean, it looks great. It's cool storyline and stuff. It's just like I can't rewatch it again,
I know there's like Twin Peaks festivals where people go and watch the entire run of the show in a marathon.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah, that's some dedication.
Yeah.
Yeah. And finally, on Blu-ray, we have Woodstock, 3 days of peace and music, a 40th anniversary limited edition.
Sweet, that sounds awesome.
I love that little bird.
I love Woodstock and Snoopy and all those guys.
Yeah, and this is like, how many discs is this again? It's like 224 minutes of just the adventures of Woodstock and Snoopy, and it's in Dolby True HD, so the laugh is going to be even more crisp.
Yeah. Are you guys into it?
Yeah, I'm going to get this shit.
I'll see myself out.
I like the Red Baron scenes.
Yeah, the Red Baron scenes are really tense. All right, and that is DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs this week. Woohoo!
You're welcome.
Gross display of pandering.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see.
I come from a culture that worships dicks.
Are you serious?
Oh, dear. Oh, man, Daytek, he's just loves laughing. He enjoys life, doesn't he?
He's a life lover. He's a bon vivant.
All right, guys, thank you for listening to the show. This was episode 298. Woohoo! So close.
How depressing is that?
It's not depressing, Gordon. It's awesome! If you guys would like to be a patron of the show, go to patreon.com/landfill. That would be awesome!
Nah, just a load of junk.
No, it's not. You could also go to etlandfill.com. You could find links to us on Twitter. You can join our fan club. You can also, it's not really a fan club. It's a group on Facebook, right?
Yes. And make sure you follow me on Instagram, Mulberry Bill. I'll be, doing little clips and pictures, and we will be documenting the adventure.
You know, I don't have Instagram. I'm going to get the app. Like
Instagram
tonight.
Is so much fun. I mean, it's just pictures and you get to follow people, and like I love following like celebrities on Instagram because they do a lot of cool stuff that you don't see on Facebook. It's more personal. It's a fun app.
Cool. So it's Instantgram.
Instagram.
Oh. Just kidding. I'm not that out of touch.
You're a stinker.
What?
Oh, also go check out our link to the Mulberry Archive. That's right. At one time, Entertainment Landfill was a show called Nowhere in Mulberry. Do you guys remember that?
Vaguely.
It was way different than it is now. The show is completely different. Now, it was exactly the same.
Oh, I have a digression here. Can I interject?
Sure.
There's a great trailer that hit earlier today for a documentary about Superman Lives, the Tim Burton version.
Right.
And it's got all kinds of really cool footage. It almost reminded me of the Jodorowsky's Dune, how they're going back into the sketches and the concept art, and they're actually showing video of Nick Cage in the Superman suit. And
wow.
They talk to Tim Burton. They talk to Kevin Smith. They talk to everybody that was involved with the film and how it didn't get made. But it sounded like it would have been awesome.
Okay.
What, the movie?
Yeah.
There's no way it would have been awesome.
There was like going to be a cameo from Batman, and it involved Brainiac, and it just sounded... I was watching it going, this should have been made.
No way. I'm glad it wasn't made. Dude, just looking at him in the suit, I'm so glad it wasn't made.
Yeah, Superman with a mullet.
I mean, look, I am a fan of Tim Burton to a point.
An extent.
But that just, no.
Fucking Superman.
Yeah, I just, it's good that that never got made.
But the trailer looks really cool.
It is hilarious hearing that story, though, that Kevin Smith told about the producer wanting him to put a polar bear in it, like a polar bear fight.
Spider.
Well,
wasn't there a point when Superman goes to the Fortress of Solitude and he has a fight with a polar bear?
Right.
Yeah. Oh my
God.
Because
you gotta put a polar bear there. Superman fights him. He goes, why does he fight a polar bear? He's Superman. Well, there's gotta be a cool action scene there. And, polar bear battles Superman. All right. Well, I'll put that in there. Like really
genius.
Bad producer notes. But I guess, you know. But then they didn't use the script, and Tim Burton had his own thing in mind, I guess. So that never happened. But I got
to
check that out.
You just have to check out the trailer.
Yeah, where do I see that? On Facebook?
It's everywhere. Yeah, I mean, okay. Variety's linking to it. And yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Any special Comic-Con news come out yet, Bill? Anything you
need to
know?
I've seen some stuff from the Hannibal panel that looked really interesting. There was a trailer for a show called Outlander that they're making a movie making a TV series out of the Jim Caviezel, John Hurt, Outlander, you know. And no, it's about some woman from the 40s that goes back in time. And
yeah, it's based on a book or something.
Yeah, it's some like sci-fi romance novel that all the ladies love.
I don't know.
Yeah, so that it looks interesting. The trailer looks good.
It's on Stars. I don't have Stars anymore.
Oh, no.
Can't watch it.
Nah, it's a lot of junk.
It's a lot of junk, Bill.
Yeah, but I haven't really seen anything great.
Yeah, nothing yet. They leaked Star Wars dates or something.
Oh, is that what? Oh my gosh, we have dates now?
It was like
they leaked.
There's a leak,
and we didn't talk about the huge leak of the Expendables 3 online.
Oh yeah. When is it supposed to come out? The release date sometime in August, right?
Yeah, I have no idea when the release date is, but this is a crystal clear, perfect DVD copy of it.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, and from what I've seen, there's no watermarks or anything on it. Like, this is a huge, huge leak.
DVD duplication pirating empire. It's not a game!
No, it's not a game, Bill.
Oh, I thought he was talking to Dougie.
It's not a game, Dougie, is what he says. But guys, if you'd like to send us an email, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com.
That's the one.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You can send us voicemails there. Right, Steven?
Yes.
So like Rick from Australia.
Yeah.
What's his last name again?
Lidster. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't end the show without doing that, guys. You know, because I'm supposed to... Steven, look out!
Ooh, ninja star to the head! Ow!
Ooh, that's got to hurt. Right, Bill?
Got a bleeder.
A bleeder. All right, let's give a roll call to all of our patrons. We appreciate you guys so much, and it's awesome. We have new patrons every once in a while, and it's really cool. You know, like I said, the top of the show, Tom Aresto.
Thank you very much, Tom.
We also have Brian, Adam Howard from the Bay Area, Rick Lidster, Michael Hodor, John Waltz, Ken Proventure, Kelly Murray, Jenny, Tom Bickmore, and of course, Rob Bickmore. Adam Sexton. I hope Adam's okay because he usually listens to every show we do. Oh, there he is. He's in the chat room.
Oh, hey, is he?
Yeah, I don't know.
I was going to say, dude, where is he? Sruley, Carl, Slade, Brandon, Kelly, Bill L.
That guy's an asshole.
Bill Lochna.
Oh, said his name.
I don't have permission to say
it's
his name.
He who shall not be named.
Does anyone ever go, is there a Mr. Laughner here?
Oh, constantly. Laughner's the big one. I get Laughner a lot.
Laughner?
Yeah.
I like Laughner the best. Yeah. So does Dave.
I'm a jolly fellow.
B. Sly, Nathena, Jason Pash, Sean Uyoka, Marvin, Todd from the ATL, Steve Steinbach. He gave me permission to use his name.
His surname.
Ross Ponyi.
Nice.
Mark Anderson, Rob Bickmore. I already thanked him, but thank you again. Double thank you. And you know what? I'm glad you suggested the strain because honestly, if you hadn't asked, I might have not watched it just because it looked kind of creepy and stuff. And I wasn't sure. I was on the fence, but I'm glad I watched it because I really like it.
Yep.
Sam Abbott, Michael Kiley, Andy Sims, Terry Farthing, Steve Swiley.
Oh, Steve Swiley.
I wanted to say something to Swiley because I know this is crazy. We love Swiley feedback, but I know he's like, they're doing too many shows. I'm never going to catch up.
Well, he was on vacation too this past week. So
yeah, this past week, but what about the past couple of months we've been
don't pressure him.
No, this is what I'm trying to say.
I'm kidding.
This is what I'm saying.
Hey, Swiley, where's the goddamn feedback, buddy?
No. Swiley, just do this show. Skip ahead to the most recent
show. I'm joking, by the way. I understand we're putting out tons of content. I don't expect it, but you know, we're having fun, and it doesn't...
I miss you.
He's on it.
Swiley, I just want to know, can I call you on the phone and go, so, what'd you think of last week's episode?
That's perfect. We'll give him our numbers so he can text it to us.
That's right. Also, Nori, give us feedback. The first episode one, the Swiley podcast. Just talk all about the show. Perfect. I'll be the number one fan.
The podcast about the podcast. We'll have another podcast that's about the podcast. Does anybody remember Lost in Mulberry?
Or don't forget about Twin IM, Adam and Ross's cool show.
Oh, that's right. Twin'em.
I love that because, you know, they were doing the first episodes of the show and they needed to keep going where they'd get to most recent, you know, it'd take forever. Also, Jean-Francois. Thank you very much for being a patron. Mike Metcalf. And I'm going to say your name, Paul Wong Pan. Thank you for being a patron. Thank you, guys. You guys rock.
Thanks.
They're the best part of our show.
You guys are awesome. Woohoo! Yeah! Oh, I didn't realize this was being funny.
I didn't realize you had the studio audience from the Will Wheaton Project in there.
Gross display of pandering.
Oh, come on. Is it really? I guess
no, it's just appreciation.
Oh, I like the applause with the heartfelt piano in the background. Do you guys like that?
We need, like, a stadium organ person for our show. Yeah! All right, Carl.
got a huge crowd of people in here, Bill.
I think we've got to run the show so these rowdy people go away.
We're going to run them off so we can get some sleep.
I've been around, sir.
Oh, okay. All right, guys. Thank you for listening to the show. We'll see you next time. Bill, next time we talk to you, you'll be here in Texas. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, how about that?
Are you excited?
I'm so excited.
He's got the countdown clock on.
I do. I have the countdown on my phone.
Sweet. Wait, let me...
The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
All right.
Five days, 7 hours, 8 minutes, 55 seconds.
Wow. Pretty sweet.
Jeez.
All right, Bill. See you then. Bye, guys. Later. Whee!
See you, Bill.
I'll see myself out.
Thanks to all those that ever here.
Okay.
Awkward.
I don't.
She's not into you, man.
Alright.
Jeez.
How depressing is that?
Nah, just a load of junk.
You know what I'm talking about?
Wow. I just asked you now. I ain't y'all down. I can see the views more. I see Mombo.
That's right, everyone.